Get ready for two guys who can handle the truth.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
But we can. Dave Palumbo.
Chris Aceto.
RxMuscle.com presents Heavy Muscle Radio.
Watch out!
Welcome to another episode of Heavy Muscle Radio. I'm Dave Palumbo, and I'm joined, as always, by Chris, the technician, Aceto. It is May 14th, 2012, and we just got through with Mother's Day 2012. And I understand, Chris, that you actually spent it with your mother this year.
I did. I usually don't, but she was in the hospital. She fell.
Oh,
and,
that's not good.
So she's getting up there in years, so I felt obligated. You know, not obligated, but, you know, typical Mother's Day, I wouldn't usually go over the house or anything like that. I might give her, I would call her.
How far does she live from you?
She's about 35 miles.
No. Oh, okay.
But, and so the hospital's about the same, 35 miles. So I went in looked around the hospital, see all the sick people, and contemplate, boy, life is short.
Yeah, tell me about it. You hear one day, gone the next. It's crazy. I guess it must have been a little bit depressing to spend Mother's Day in the hospital, but, you know, at least you
it,
got...
It was, because I'm not a good, you know, in those scenarios, you know, there's not a lot of great stuff you can say.
No, you're
well,
not good
thing you didn't break your leg.
You're not good in tragic situations, Chris. We don't want you around.
Yeah.
You're not the pillar of strength that we might expect, right?
If it was just a general Mother's Day and I was over her house to eat or something, I could make a laugh about something or, you know, complain about something. But when you go to the hospital and someone's in a hospital bed, you know, how are you feeling? And that's just such a general wishy-washy question. How are you feeling? Then what's the second question you ask, right?
Yeah. What is your dad and mom still together?
Oh, they are. They shouldn't be, but they are.
Were they arguing in the hospital?
Absolutely, yes, they're arguing in the hospital. For RxMuscle. Dead serious. I am dead serious. That's how I know. That is actually how I know.
She's all right.
That things aren't all that bad in terms of how my mother's feeling, because if she has the energy to fight with them, then she's feeling okay.
Are you like mortified, like when you're there, like just like
it's so embarrassing. It's ridiculous. Yeah. I don't, it's so to the point embarrassing that I just, I don't get embarrassed and I don't prepare myself to experience the feeling of embarrassment. It is what it is, and they'll fight and shout, and I hope that the nurses and doctors have seen it all. So when they see the Acetos come up,
it doesn't bother you then, huh? I have to take a page out of your playbook then.
I mean, it's just, you know.
I went to dinner with my dad. I took him to a sushi restaurant yesterday. Now, my dad is on Oxycontins because he's had this chronic, terrible arthritis. I mean, seriously, serious pain. And he also has some medicinal marijuana, too. And he must have done the two together. And he was in a great mood. He couldn't wait to go out. He wanted to eat. He was had the, like, the munchies. I take him to the sushi place. He was so loud. He was so loud. He was insulting everyone in there. He was insulting the Asian people. It was. I was mortified. I kept trying to say to myself, why don't I just enjoy this? But I was so embarrassed by him that, and he was, you know, he was doing exactly what he accused me that his dad used to do. Like dad used to, my grandfather would go to funerals and badmouth people, but he would speak so loud. He'd be like, the guy was a no good son of a bitch. You know, meanwhile, people are there crying.
That's the Italian way to go to funerals and say, no good son of a bitch.
Right?
You know, to curse him in their deathbed.
My dad was wearing this winter coat because he's afraid of getting a draft. Now, it's kind of warm here. And he had the sleeves rolled up on the winter coat so he could eat. And my father was just, he doesn't know anything about, like, he loves sushi, but he has no idea what he's eating. And it goes everywhere when he eats it, you know. He spits it out. It spits all over it. You know, pieces hit me in the face, you know. It's just, and I don't even care about that. I'm used to that by now. But he was, he's, like, convinced he wants to do, like, an infomercial advertising the benefits of my Fiberlife supplement, which, by the way, he hates, but he takes it because it works so well. He's like, I don't like the taste of it, and it's too gritty. And I said, Dad, that's why it works. It's fiber. He's like, well, I'll do an infomercial if you want. He goes, can you talk about bowel movements? And he's like screaming.
Well, on OxyContin, he's got to be bound up to, you know, generally.
He can't
it's the most bind you up drug there is.
He cannot go to the bathroom without the fiber. And the fiber has solved his, like, Like he, it's like a religious thing for him because without the fiber, he can't go to the bathroom and nothing else works. These doctors give him a ton of other stuff. Nothing works but the fiber. And that just goes back to what you and I always talk about how necessary fiber is. But he's screaming about bowel movements and people looking at us like we're crazy. And then there's this, you know, Asian women are usually these little petite women. The woman who was running the place had a terrific personality, but she looked like Santa Claus. She was like big, you know, she was a big woman. My father's like, she looks like a hippopotamus. He's screaming it. Like, I'm like, Dad, shut up. He's like, what, you think I'm talking too loud? He goes, you know what I would have done when I was younger if someone would have said you're talking too loud?
Oh,
I would have punched him out. I said, Dad, take it easy, please. Please. Please take it easy.
Well, my father sometimes, my father does not use OxyContin, nor does he smoke pot.
Right.
But he does drink a lot of red wine. But he's 74, and I swear, Dave, he thinks he can still knock people out. And he gives them the threat. And you know what? The body language and the aggression in the face, it's not only intimidating, but he used to knock people out all the time when I was a kid. That was like pre-lawyers.
Wow, really?
He used to get in fights all the time. So now he still has the memory that I can take anyone. So when someone gives him a hard time, on occasion he'll rise to that level of anger where he's threatening to take someone out, and I'm thinking you're 76 or 74 years old. We're gonna end up in the hospital or in the hospital and being sued.
Yeah, I was trying to give I'm about peace, and you have to just don't let the good opinion of others influence you and get you angry. And He's from the same school your dad is from. You know, they fought. My dad used to fight his way all through high school, and he had to defend five brothers. You know, he was the oldest, so he understands revenge and beat the shit out of. You know, that's about the
love. Well, that's how the world operated. Yeah. You know, 50 years ago,
it still operates that way. Unfortunately,
I know it still operates that way, but now we try to teach kids. You know. Everyone's into, you know, anger management, conflict resolution. There's more avenues and more ways to resolve things, it seems, these days versus maybe 50 years ago. People just duke it out.
Well, that's because people get sued nowadays. So you have to. It's forced the hand. So we get the bill, and my dad's like, I'm paying. I said, okay. He's like, it's Mother's Day. I'm taking you out. I said, I'm not going to argue with you.
1995.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue with you. So he gets the bill. And of course, he can't really see that well. My dad actually has good long, far vision now because he had his eyes done, but he can't really see up close that well. So he's like, fill this out. He goes, $3. He goes, what's the bill? I said, it was $50. He's like, $3 tip. He goes, I don't want to give you, none of that. I don't want to hear any bullshit from you with you giving these big tips. $3 tip. So, of course, he can't see, so I just wrote $10 on the thing, and I let him sign it, because he was embarrassing me so much, and I cannot, for some reason, no one else bothers me. I can go into a restaurant with anyone, they could say this stuff, I would be laughing and having a good time. My dad, I cannot get over the embarrassment issue. I don't know what it is. I don't know how I could work through this thing.
Yeah, because he's your blood, maybe. I don't know. Maybe it's you know.
It's like, I don't want people to know it. Like, you know, like, I don't know who this guy is. I'm, like, trying to pull that one of those off, you know.
You can't. He'll chase you down, and, you know, and he'll yell for you.
Yeah.
You know, Dave, in a voice that other people who don't even know you can bother.
My dad wrote this great poem about Mother's Day. He wrote it last year, actually, and read it. I don't care if people don't like poetry. I'm just going to read it because it's a tribute to Mother's Day. My mother's no longer here. She died when I was 14. So this is a tribute. Although it's really written about my dad's mother, I think. But it can apply to all mothers. Here it goes. Mother's Day by Salvatore Palumbo. Who knew? Since she was always there, whether wanted or not, always making your business her little store, and always more that nobody wanted until she departed. And wasn't there to absorb all the wounds and arguments. All the times we kneeled in pain to her and cried to her and should have kissed the open wounded, bloody ground beneath her feet. And now how sweet on Mother's Day, remembered like she wasn't there the way she was, and how we were so richly and so thankfully absorbed by it. We faithfully loving brood of hers. We lookalikes. We well-to-do non-immigrants. We hypocrites. We love our love on Mother's Day.
That's right to the point. When did he write that? That's excellent,
yeah.
Actually.
Yeah, my dad's a very good poet. He's a very awesome writer, and he's an excellent poet.
For a loud pothead, he's pretty good with the pen.
No, he's excellent with the pen. He's too good for the pen, but, you know, I don't know if people appreciate poetry nowadays. But, yeah, I thought it was touching. It was good.
Yeah, it's excellent.
Well, we got a big weekend coming up, Chris. We have the New York Pro coming up. You'll be coming into town. Are you actually staying at my house?
I plan on, after the show, saying, Dave, by the way, I got to stay at your house.
Because
so.
I have another person there, too, so I want to make sure I have a room. I have to reserve
your
room.
You know, I can stay on the couch and on the floor. That's true. The only thing, you know.
Chris likes to. You like to fall asleep as I'm talking to you while I'm editing videos.
That is so true. And what do I say when I'm falling asleep? Always. See if you remember.
I don't know. What do you say?
I get delirious and I say, Dave, man, you're so smart. Dave, man, you're smart. Because you're telling me stories of either points you've made in the past. If you make a point and it's something to be impressed with, I said, man, Dave, that's smart. Or if you tell me something that when you went back and corrected my mistake, I say, geez, that's really smart.
We usually both complain about the injustices of the universe, though, too, when we're in that step, when you're laying on the couch and I'm behind the computer there.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. It's going to be fun. We're going to have that New York Pro. We have they have the open class, the 212 class. They have figure, bikini, and it's going to be a big event. Steve Weinberg's throwing it at the Tribeca Performing Arts Center in downtown Manhattan, so that's going to be real exciting. I'm looking forward to it. You know, I was looking at the poster, and I'm speaking to my dad. My dad was an English teacher, you know, for 35 years, and he was a grammar nut. Like, he drove grammar into matter of fact, he corrected me in the restaurant. I had corrected myself, but he liked the fact that I even made the mistake before I corrected myself. So he had to point out to me that, you know, that I grammatically made a mistake or something like that. So I'm pretty, my grammar's pretty, you know, on spot. And I notice a lot of people with the men's bodybuilding, women's bodybuilding, women's physique, all these new divisions, they like to put an apostrophe between the end of the word and the word S. So like men's bodybuilding will be MEN apostrophe S. Now,
that's wrong.
It's wrong, right? Because the apostrophe denotes possession. In other words, if it was the men's bodybuilding, you know, trophy, or you know, if it was Dave's bodybuilding, you know, then it would be a different story. Then I would own the bodybuilding, or Jim Mannion's bodybuilding, or Jim Mannion's NPC, you'd put an apostrophe. But there shouldn't be an apostrophe there, and everyone makes that mistake, including all the people who work for me on the site when we put up show contest coverage. It's always like women's physique division, and they have an apostrophe. Yeah, so. Guys out there, this is the rule. No apostrophe S. Okay? Anyway, I spoke my piece. That'll be taking place Saturday, May 19th, this coming weekend, Chris. It's going to be an exciting weekend. And I like these pro events when there's no amateur because it goes fast. And you you could really analyze what's going on and not just skip over.
I knew you were
going
to say that. You can focus on what everyone's excited about, the pros, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, they're excited about the amateurs, too, but... Well, you know, it takes away your ability to pick apart the show.
If anyone wants to come watch the show, I would advise you get tickets ahead of time, you know, because they're going to be definitely sold out if you go there the day of the show. You can call Bev Francis Powerhouse Gym at 516-933-1111. I think you can even go online at bevfrancis.com. And the prejudging starts at 11 a.m. and the finals at 6 p.m. So I'm sure we'll be out of there at a reasonable time. You know, maybe get some dinner or something like that, or you know, do something exciting, I'm sure. I'm sure we'll be spending most of the day at Whole Foods like we always do in between the prejudging and night show there. So if anyone wants to come down and say hello to us, feel free. The NPC Junior USA is also the same weekend. This is a show I've been going to for about 10, 12 years straight now. I'm not going to be able to go this year, obviously, because it's on the same weekend as the New York Pro. Aaron Jubaka-Singerman with Dan Ray will be down there covering that event. And that will be taking place at the North Charleston Performing Arts Center. And that's in Charleston, South Carolina. And actually, it's in North Charleston, South Carolina. And that's Trey Bennett's show. Always a great event. There's a lot of pro cards up for grabs there, believe it or not, Chris. They're giving three class winners in both a figure and bikini will be getting pro cards. That's six pro cards right there. The overall fitness winner will get a pro card. That's seven pro cards total. The women's physique and men's physique divisions will be awarded two pro cards in those divisions. So that's another four. So we're up to 11 pro cards. The Junior USA should be a great event. Aaron Jubaka-Singerman will be reporting all weekend long from there. And that should be this should be a stellar weekend, actually, Chris, with all these events going on.
It's going to be another... it's going to be another content-filled week, really, because all the stuff that we're going to collect over the weekend is going to be posted during the week.
Yeah.
And keep people busy on the site all week long.
I mean, ever since rxmuscle.com.au, which our Australian sister site, has come on board, if you notice, we have even more contest coverage. If we weren't great enough, and if we weren't number one in worldwide in contest coverage, we certainly are now, because we are probably the number one Australian site as well out there. And we cover, I mean, think about it, halfway around the world we're covering shows. I mean, the scope of RX Muscle has reached the a planetary level, Chris.
Yeah, I see. What's his face is on? Well, it's so secretive, I can't remember his name.
You're having brain fart.
Exactly. Who's the Australian actor that I can't think of right now?
Lee Priest, no.
Who went ballistic? He's nuts.
Russell Crowe?
No, the other one. Geez, they're all nuts then, huh?
There's a lot of them. Which one are you talking about? Mel Gibson.
The one from
Mel Gibson.
Mel Gibson's on. His handle is Catholic Muscle. He posts under anonymous.
Catholic Muscle.
If you go on to our,
I thought he was Jesus
Australian
Christ Superstar.
Sister site, yeah. You'll see his crazy post.
You're funny.
You don't like the black bodybuilders.
Yeah. or the Jews. Not that there are very many Jewish bodybuilders, but there are a few out there. There are a few. Now, you know, we had some shows this past weekend too. Aaron Jabaka Singman was down at the IFBB Optimum Pro event, and I'm going to wrap all that action up with him a little later in the show, but Jose Raymond looked real good in that. You and I both were just talking about him before the show started, and we said that, you know,
of course you are.
He pretty much dominated that lineup, but, you know, he's still, in my opinion at least, that he could be better. I think that if he comes into New York looking like that, English is going to destroy him. If he comes in tighter, like we know we've seen him, can he give English a run for his money in your mind?
Yeah, because Jose has to be at his all-time best to be all-time best English. That's what I think. And that's only due to the probably, I would give the edge to English on the side chest. And I'm not a fan of Kevin English, but I have to say he's a meaning, you know, I try to make the argument that Jose can beat him. The argument would have to be Jose's at his best, Kevin's, you know, off. But there's been parts of prejudgments of 202 Mr. Olympias where I absolutely think Kevin English is losing the show. And then he hits a couple different, I think it's like the side chest and maybe just like the stance from behind and stance from the front where he looks just enormous. And as somebody who's, you know, not rooting for Kevin, you end up, well, not rooting for him, but you say, well, yeah, he deserves first. So it's, you know, Jose's got his hands full, I guess, is the bottom line. What do you think?
I think that we all always root against the champion to a certain degree, just because you want to see someone else, you know, knock him off.
Sure.
And then, you know, because we're very honest with, you know, the way we see things, if the guy deserves to win, obviously, you know, he wins. You know, you say, okay, you know, he was better, you know. But it's always nice to see someone else challenging it, because you don't want... It's boring if the same guy wins all the time. You know, I think that I would have liked to see English in the open class. I guess he made his final assessment and realized that he was going to go down. I hear he's going to go down to the 212. So that's the latest and greatest that I've heard. Now, Lonnie Tieper and I did a little New York Pro preview several weeks back at the L.A. Grand Prix. And at the time, we weren't sure if English would be where he'd be. And I speculated he would do very well in the Open, you know, especially given the lineup is very young lineup, you know, with guys in the Open like Steve Kuklow and Juan Morel. And while they're real good, you know, they're young in the sense that English might have a little more stage experience and a little bit more muscle maturity than these guys. But assuming that English is going to 12, it should be a battle between him and Jose. I don't see anyone else stepping in there. Do you? I mean, I haven't even seen the lineup. I haven't really posted it yet.
No, I mean, I don't know who's in the show. So, you know, those are the marquee names.
Nathan DeTracy's going to be entering the show. I don't think he's going to be an impact on those, on the top two, at least. I know Luis Santa is going to be in the show. He was just doing the wrap-ups this past week with Aaron Singerman, but, you know, he doesn't have the size to compete with these guys. So, as far as the top two dogs go, it's English and Raymond, and, you know, Raymond's going to have to be at his all-time best to challenge English, but I think what really is going to come down to the fact that if English comes in 100%, he can't lose. It's like the old Ronnie Coleman days. Until English hurts himself or something happens to his physique where he can't train the way he needs to, I think he could pretty much secure hold on that 212 title, like I said, as long as he comes in shape. Obviously, at the Olympia last year, there was a problem. Problem this year since they've upped the weight class 10 pounds.
Yeah, and he's got a new mentor, I guess, prepping for the show, I hear.
Oh, he does? He's not working with Hani anymore?
Yeah. No, I heard he's working with Thackeray.
Oh, he is. Okay, that's a big shocker.
That's what I hear.
I wonder why he dropped Hani. That's interesting.
I don't know. We'll have to get from. We can. You know how we can find out?
No. Oh.
There's only two ways we can sick Aaron Jubaka Singerman on it. Or get your father all OxyContin up and give Hani a call. Your father, does he correct grammar and arguments? If he had an argument with someone, does he?
Yes. Yeah, he does that. He does that all the time. That's a good one. I'll have to remember that. That's a good interrogation process to sick my dad on him. My dad would ask a million, what, huh, what? He wouldn't hear anything. His new thing is you can't tell him a story because he slows you down so many times and he stops you and you have to repeat yourself that I just give up on wanting to tell the story anymore. So I wind up just shortcutting the story and never really telling him anything that's even worth. In the old days, my dad wanted to hear everything. You know, I would tell him everything that was going on in my life. He would give me his psychological insights into it. Now it's just like, he goes, what do you do? Anything special projects on the horizon? I'm like, nah, it's same old shit. You know, it's just easy. It's easier. It's too aggravating.
Do you want to just switch? You know, I hate to not include my family and things. Yeah. But I don't mean to sound like the busiest human being on earth, but I got a lot of stuff going on any given day, especially my real estate stuff and just blah. I can't even tell my father because then he'll want to get into the details, which slows me down.
Yeah, exactly. Right. He wants to give you advice, you know, that you're not going to listen to anyway.
And I say, Dad, if I had to do all those things that you think are important, I would get absolutely zero done.
My dad's still asking me about my last personal relationship I was in. Like, he's giving me advice. I'm like, Dad, it's been over for 3 months already. Can we just drop it? He's like, all right. He's like, you know, I don't care if I have grandkids or not. I said, Dad, if I have kids, it's not going to be because you want grandkids. He's like, I don't want them. He goes, I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. I said, Dad, I just said I would do it if I want the kids. I said, not you.
Well, he'd talk about you and say, this is what my father would do about me. And I'd go nuts. He's done this since I was a kid. I've corrected him since I was like 13 years old, which he hated. And even till now, he would do it this way. I would be in the room and he'd talk loud enough so I could hear about me.
Oh, really?
Well, I talked to Chris and he's decided that so broadcast my business to everyone, which is another reason I can't tell him anything.
Yeah, yeah. I once brought a girl to my dad's house because we had to make a pit stop and drop something off for him. And he's like, oh, so my new, and I didn't even like the girl that much. He's like, my new daughter-in-law here. Like, you know, he's already had me married. I had spent one day with the girl, you know.
Yeah.
It was so embarrassing. I'm like, Dad, shut up. I'm like giving him the like shut up sign behind like her head.
Sure.
And
sure.
He's like, huh? What? And my dad's a smart guy. He doesn't pick up the face clues sometimes, you know, the names anymore. He's like pulling his magnifying glass out to try to see what I'm doing, you know.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Anyway, let's talk a little bit about... Well, you know what? I wanted to mention something before we even break down the open class of the New York Pro. We're a little disjointed. You know what? Let's do the New York Pro. We're a little disjointed here today. I was going to talk
good.
About
disjointed
something else.
Is
but
good.
Disjointed is good. All right. I got this. I've been getting a lot of emails from people complaining of cramping. And I don't know if you get these emails all the time. I mean, massive cramps in the middle of the night. And this is not like the day before shows. And I don't know what's going on, but I'm sure this has been going on for probably years. But what the hell is the deal with these people not eating any sodium in their diet while they're on a restricted carb diet? I never heard of this. I don't know why people think that sodium is like the devil. I don't get it. Don't people understand that it's the most prevalent electrolyte in the body and that your body doesn't, you know, the muscles can't contract without sodium in it? I don't get it.
Sodium is so important that that it's the trickiest, I think it can be the trickiest component in the diet, meaning you're getting away from cramping, peeking for a show. This kid sent me pictures today. I sent them to you.
Yeah, crazy.
The little short guy.
Yeah, little Pakistani
guy.
Yeah. What was his name? Do you even know?
Masoom Boot.
Masum Boot.
Masum Boot. He's doing Toronto. And he told me, if I even remotely lower my sodium, I look fat as a pig.
He told me.
And it's true. He does. You know what I mean? Because he's so lean. When he lowers his sodium, he looks like nothing. When he increases it, he looks like full, hard, ripped.
Right.
And so he just asked me, "What, you know, what should I do?" I said, "You know what? Don't lower it.
Do nothing."
Yeah. He looked, you know, I mean, his carbs are very, very low too. Yeah. You know, he follows a very low carb diet.
Then you definitely need sodium, especially because you can't hold sodium if you're not really eating any carbs either.
I don't know. You tell me, Dave. It's got to go on. You have to go on MythBusters.
Sodium is you said one. It's a complicated thing. It's really, to me, it's the easiest thing. If you eat a lot of sodium, you produce very little aldosterone, which makes your body's propensity to hold water and sodium very low. And then come around contest day, you just eliminate the sodium one day before, and then all the water just comes off you, or maybe 2 days before if you just tend to be sensitive. But if you're eating sodium the whole diet, you'll be very unsensitive to sodium. That's the key. So when you cut back the intake, and a lot of times I don't even cut it all back on guys, because if you take it all out, sometimes it's too much, even with for one day. The water just comes right off your body. The key is, if you're always if you're never eating sodium, you become super sodium sensitive, because your body is always trying to look for it. And then when you do eat a little bit too much, you wind up blowing up like a pig. So guys, eat sodium, my God, especially while you're dieting. You got to get enough. If you're sweating and doing a lot of cardio, you know, these guys, they're doing 2 hours of cardio and they're not eating any salt. It's like, you know, what do you think these guys on the football field do? They're drinking Gatorade that's loaded with sodium. Why? Because they're losing it when they're sweating. So, I mean, I don't want to hear any more of this these dumb questions anymore. You guys create your own problems by eliminating sodium from your diet, especially too far out from the show. Another thing is, another little annoying thing that I wanted to bring up is that you and I talked about this too, is getting back to clients. You know, I've spoiled all my clients because I'm always on the computer or have my phone at me. So when I get an email or a text message, I respond like almost instantaneously. It's like, because I don't want it to build up. I want to get them out of the way as quickly as possible. So I answer very fast. Now, the negative ramification of that is that if I can't get to my phone, if I can't get to an email, or if I'm at a meeting and it takes me a couple hours to get back to these people, then they think that either I didn't get the email or something happened to me. So they start resending the email or the text message over and over and over again. And then, you know, now I have 10 times the amount of emails to answer, because you still have to read the email. You don't know if it could be something new they're asking me.
My rule is that, well, I'm changing. My rule was I like to respond to people as fast as possible. But what I find is it just creates more chaos in my life. And for me to be able to just be what I feel comfortable and successful during the day, I can't have – I like chaos and I thrive off it, but I can't have too much. So now I wait – until maybe I can sit down 5 or 6 hours later and go through all my emails and all my texts, unless it's your email or your text.
Right.
Which means I break my rules as well. Or I have
you respond
rules.
Quickly to me. Yeah, you're pretty good with that. Well, you know, I don't know. I just thought it was interesting. But yeah, I do like to get back to clients. And I think clients respect that and like that also when you get back to them real fast. I know guys have told me that they hired people to help them get ready for shows, and it took them 2 days to get back to them. And obviously, if you have a quick question or, you know, something that's of concern, you know, waiting 2 days is not going to be the best thing to do. So I try to keep that that going. Well, we got the New York Pro coming up. We've kind of been avoiding the I guess you could say the wolf in sheep's clothing out there. But the bottom line is, who's going to be the next New York Pro champion, Open champion? That's really the excitement every year. I mean, aside from the Arnold Schwarzenegger Classic and the Olympia, the New York Pro is probably the most anticipated show of the year. And the great thing, it has a really rich history of always showcasing new great champions. A lot of the new guys that want to launch their pro career, make their pro debut, do it in New York. Because you know what? As they say, if you can make it there, you can make it anywhere. And I'm excited to see, you know, who's going to emerge as this year's champion. Obviously, the pre-contest favorites had to be Steve Kuklo. A lot of people were talking about, who was the USA champion, who narrowly beat Juan Morell last year at the USA. Juan Morell, who is the North American champion, who pretty much decimated that lineup. He's coming back over, you know, 12 pounds heavier than he was last year. He wants revenge on Kuklo. Obviously, Cedric McMillan has thrown his hat into the ring at the last minute. He's going to be a very dangerous competitor up on that stage, as well as we have a whole host of other people entering the show as well. I don't know if Brandon Curry is going to be entering or not. We have not seen the competitor list posted yet. I suspect this could be a fun lineup, especially knowing, Chris, that there really are no guys that like Kai Greene was last year. There's no one who's just going to decimate this lineup. It's going to be close no matter what.
Yeah, no, I think it's going to be a grueling, grueling prejudging, you know.
I think it's going to be long, right?
Because, you know, there's different bodies and conditioned bodies and big bodies, and any bodybuilding show, you know, regardless of what people look like, you have to see them one right next to another. It's like picking a diamond, you know. Yeah. You keep trying the one on and looking at the one until you get the right, you know, the exact one that's perfect, and that's what the show may boil down to, because you know, the names that you just mentioned, they're not crappy physiques, you know, they're all put together the way a bodybuilder should, you know, or aspires to be put together.
Yeah, I mean, you got guys also making their pro debut like John De La Rosa as well, but I think that you have to consider the Kuklo, Morell, McMillan, you know, triad, if you might say, the guys to really look out for. Like I said, I could be missing people because I don't know what the list is yet, but what do you think as far as going into the show? Do you think there's any guy who has an edge on anyone else?
No, I don't think any of the guys have an edge. They may think they have an edge, and their little posses probably think they have an edge, but I mean, that's what the prejudging is for. You know, to measure them out, to see who's, you know, who's best. You know, I like the New York Pro because the lighting is killer, you know, so it's generally, unlike the Arnold, I'm not saying the judging is bad at the Arnold, but you can go to an Arnold show and you can come away from a prejudging and have like 40 different opinions on who the top three in what order should be, or top five in what order.
Right.
But the New York Pro, generally, they, you know, the way the judges see it is the way it ends up amongst pretty much everyone, because the lighting is usually, you know, it's lit well where you can see what you need to see.
Well, you also, we sit up in that press pit. It's so freaking close to the stage. You can almost touch the guys up there. So, you know, that's helpful as well. But, you know, I am going to, you know, I saw the pictures, obviously, you sent me of Cedric McMillan. It's the best I've seen, at least from all the angles you sent me. He looks enormous. I mean, at 270 pounds, I mean, we're going to have him on the show a little later. We have a very exclusive interview with him. I did it yesterday, 2 days ago, and he's very forthright, very honest interview, and I think people are going to really enjoy it because, you know, he is a very honest guy, and I've always liked him. I did his very first interview building scene at the Junior USA when he won that year, and this was a great interview as well. Can he walk in there and destroy this lineup? I mean, how does he look? I mean, you've seen him, obviously, from all angles. At 270 pounds, Cedric McMillan sounds like a very dangerous competitor.
Yeah, he's dangerous. He's, you know, Cedric's... My summation of Cedric is, and I kid, but it's serious, is I said he's in the Army. You know, he's an American citizen. We know this. He works for us. He's in our military. But he has Asian tactics when he comes to getting ready for these big bodybuilding shows.
What does that mean? Tell me.
He's a kamikaze. If Cedric went into a gym, and this is a compliment, not really a criticism, but if Cedric went into a gym and, you know, and he got a good pump going, he may train back all afternoon. And I think that, you know, while that's a great work ethic to have, I think what he's only needed is to be tweaked to be able to, you know, work with him and say, you know, enough is enough. And to just let what he has, which is his genetics, to germinate, to just grow and change the way he's been capable of, or everyone knows he's been capable of. So I think for this show, a big part of his success is that he's learned to be able to know his body when to say no, and to be able to push his body when it's time to push.
I think that you're also, the fact that you're guiding him, you're hopefully preventing him from doing anything self-destructive, and I think that's a big part of his prep too. And he did give you
I'm in the radio tower telling the guy he doesn't have to the tanker.
That's exactly,
you know, we can just drop a bomb on it and it still does the same.
Sure. Well, I'm excited to see how he's going to look on stage. I know Juan Morell is looking the freakiest I've ever seen. Still feeding him McDonald's every day, reluctantly. He's so nervous about this thing, you know, because it's pro debut. He doesn't think he should be eating the food. I'm like, you're losing weight. Eat the food, you know. And no one eats more food than Juan Morell. I thought I eat a lot of food when I was getting ready for shows. This kid has got the craziest metabolism I've ever seen. I mean, he's eating 8 times a day. He's eating protein. He's eating a ton of fat. He's eating a ton of carbs. You know, not a ton, moderate high carbs. And I'm giving him junk meals, you know, still just to keep his weight up so he doesn't drop anymore. And the fact that he's going to come in 12 pounds heavier than the North American, which was only 6 months ago, is a true testament to what a freak this kid is. I mean, he just keeps improving. But you know what? Even when he's, you know, kind of like in his downtime, he always trains hard. And it goes back to what you and I have discussed about, if you train hard, you'll grow muscle. And if, you know, obviously you got to eat right too. But a lot of these guys nowadays are just not training hard. Kuklo's another example. He's made some great improvements too. And he's probably the youngest guy in the lineup. And he might shock a lot of people. He's a young, good-looking guy. I mean, maybe, you know, he's got the wide shoulders. He kind of reminds me a little of like a Jay Cutler, don't you think?
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he does. With the, you know, the big delts and good quads.
Yeah.
He's got that square look, you know what I mean?
Yep, and he doesn't have any damaged muscles at that point. You know, something about a young guy's physique, it just looks fresh. And you don't see like one leg bigger than the other. You don't see one arm bigger than the other. His lats are both the same size. You know, Juan's got the same thing going. And you can't say the same for some of the older guys. They're in their 40s. They may look good, or they may have more muscle maturity, but they tend to, even Jay's got the one leg bigger than the other. Ronnie had the same problem with the lat. And that just comes with wear and tear.
Yeah. Yep. No disagreement from me, Dave.
Well,
I'm just trying to. There's a pause because I'm trying to head as you're talking. What, and that's what we do. Juan and what Kuklo were going to look like up there on stage.
Oh, you know what? I forgot to. I can't believe I even forgot this. There's men's and women's physique also at this show. So no wonder why it's going to be a long show. There's men's bodybuilding open in 212. There's women's figure, bikini, and then men's and women's physique. So that I forgot about that. You know, this is a very big show, a lot of divisions, and it's going to be the biggest New York Pro of all time, without a doubt. I'm telling you guys, this venue is not that big. It will sell out. If you want to go to this event, buy your tickets early. Trust me, I'm telling you, you're going to be very upset. You know, very upset. So. Anyway, that's really what I have to say. We do have a Heavy Muscle TV show Thursday night, however. Hopefully you'll be in town to attend that. And we're going to have a lot of superstars in the house. We have a lot of women superstars, I should say, coming into the studio. We have a Canadian bikini pro, Sandy Avalar, is coming in. I have Karina Nascimento, the first ever women's physique pro champion. She'll be in the studios. Heather Dees. We'll be doing the figure division.
Dees, yeah.
Heather Dees, who's a species athlete. She'll be in there also, coming into the studio. And you never know who else might just show up that night, that day. Also, hopefully, like I said, you'll be there, and the whole regular whack pack will be in. And we haven't had a TV show in a number of weeks, so this will be a good one. I promise you that. We'll do some fun stuff. I have this new app on my iPhone called the Ugly App, where it actually can you take a picture of yourself with it, and you line up all the guidelines, and it will tell you how ugly you are. And I'm gonna check out. I want to check out all these beautiful women.
What's the litmus test? What's the standard they use?
I don't know.
Whose mug do they use as the as the differential?
Brad Pitt's like a 92. I think I came out as a 69, which is, I didn't feel was too bad. It could have been lower.
Who's the, well, out of the guys competing today, who's got the best face?
I don't know. It's a good question. It's done by fake proportion. Probably the men's physique guys would have the best face because the bodybuilders, we always have these distorted, you know, heads. You know, we always get these big puffy. You know what happens? Because your face gets muscular too when you grow that much. Your cheeks.
No, it does. I know. And, you know, your jaw grows from squeezing. You know what I mean? Like,
I probably was a 40, you know, a 40, 42 before I was competing. Now that I'm not competing and I'm skinnier, I'm fine. So. I'm hoping to possibly in the next, you know, year or two, maybe make it into the 70s, you know, on the ugly meter. Now, I did take Darielle and Aaron's pictures, and Aaron, I think, got like a, I think he was in the 60s or no, I think, yeah, I think he was in the 60s somewhere, and Darielle was an 85. So that's good. She was, you know, that's I would consider at least an A-minus right
there.
So
they're going to have a good-looking kid then.
Yeah, they might. If the kid takes after Darielle, they'll be fine.
Did Aaron say, like, his body fat, take it again? Measure it again.
Yeah, he did, because the first time he did it himself, it didn't come out good. Actually, Jeff, the producer, did the ugly meter in the car on the drive to Boston, and he came up really low, like really, really, like in the 40s, and he was like absolutely crazed and obsessed with the thing. He must have done it 60 times, and it's pretty accurate. But then I did it of him. It's hard to sometimes take a picture of yourself and line your head up properly. So when I did it, it boosted him into he was into the 60s. I like the fact that I think he was a 60 or 70 or something like that. So he was feeling better about himself as far as that goes.
So there's a way to cheat, kind of.
No, I think it is a way to screw yourself. You know, if you don't follow the rules, but you know, it's always hard to take a picture of yourself. You know, because you can't really. You're not supposed to smile. There's a lot of rules that you have to adhere to. So, you know, this just goes the way it goes. Anyway, what else is on the horizon here? That's really it. We got a lot going on. Like I said, this weekend is going to be great. New York Pro. We're going to go to a commercial break. When we come back, Aaron Chewbacca-Singerman and the entire Optimum Pro wrap-up, and then Cedric McMillan a little later in the show. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
This is Heavy Muscle Radio, only on RxMuscle.com. Myotropics Physique Nutrition is the most exciting supplement company to come along in decades. That's because Myotropics isn't just another company. It's the brainchild of iconic metabolic expert, Dr. Scott Connolly, the inventor of the original body recomposition product that changed the industry and allowed millions of people to get in the best shape of their life. And CEO Vince Andrich, author of the groundbreaking Physique Athlete Guide. Myotropics' flagship product, Physique 2.0, contains their exclusive Meta Effects Amino CD protein compound that maximizes whole body protein economy, your personal linchpin for gaining and retaining the most muscle while also shedding maximum body fat. Plus, Physique 2.0 contains the world's first legitimate fat-burning carbohydrate, Meta Effects FAO-CHO, for full hard muscle and increased fat burn. If you live to develop the ultimate physique, go with Myotropics, real people that live to develop physique nutrition. Go to myotropics.com. It's your body. It's your art. Master it. Myotropics.com.
There are three aspects to athletic performance: energy, endurance, and recovery. And there is one nutrient that enhances all three: oxygen. Maximize explosiveness and power. Increase reps. Improve muscular endurance. Dramatically reduce recovery times and enhance mental focus. No matter what your sport, no matter what your level, it's all about oxygen. Check out oxygenforenergy.com. 95% pure oxygen for serious athletes. That's oxygen, the number 4. Energy.com.
Tad the Diet Coach, contest prep guru for bodybuilding, bikini, physique, and figure. Go to tadthedietcoach.com, an expert on nutrition and exercise science with over 20 years experience in fitness and bodybuilding. Tad the Diet Coach offers a complete scientific and individually focused contest prep or a full off-season plan that is custom tailored for your own unique needs. This kind of diet coaching is a premium coaching service that includes weekly conference calls, individually based diet and supplement plans, specific cardio and workout schedules, and constant contact during the contest prep or off-season process. Tad the Diet Coach, author of the Diet Recipe Cookbook, and also the creator of the Coach's Choice Whey Protein Isolate, which is the absolute best-tasting premier isolate on the market. Tad the Diet Coach will get you to the next level. Go now to tadthedietcoach.com or send an email to info@tadthedietcoach.com.
Out on the edge of fitness and endurance, there's a line. It's where winners and losers are defined. That's the narrow place where Gamma O gives the serious competitor the extra step. That extra kick nobody knew was there. Gamma O raises your testosterone level naturally and legally. So before you step up to the line one more time, be prepared to bring it with Gamma O, the all-natural testosterone booster. Gamma O is available nationwide at General Nutrition Centers or on the web at GammaO.com.
P28 high-protein bread is the official bread of RX Muscle. Are you looking to incorporate more protein into your meals or just want to enjoy bread again? Then look no further. Try the 100% natural P28 high-protein bread. P28 high-protein bread is a formulated revolutionary breakthrough product. Packed with whey protein isolate, 14 grams of protein per slice, 12 grams of carbs, 8 essential amino acids, and made with 100% whole wheat. Fear bread no more. Build a better body with P28. Order today at highproteinbread.com. P28 is also now available at bodybuilding.com and many other retailers. Order now. Highproteinbread.com. P28 bread. RX Muscle approved.
So are you from Australia, paying far too much for supplements with the inflating whey and amino prices? Why not check out the all-new RX Muscle Australia for the latest Australian and worldwide content and coverage. While you're there, check out Bulk Nutrient Supplement Store, the official supplement store for RX Muscle Australia. You can visit Bulk Nutrients at bulknutrients.com.au, your one-stop shop. And also check out the all-new rxmuscle.com.au. RX Muscle Australia, the truth in Australia. In bodybuilding.
RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up to the minute news and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com.
Heavy Muscle Radio.
Welcome back to Heavy Muscle Radio. I'm Dave Palumbo on the line now with Aaron Jubaka Singerman calling in from Tampa, Florida. You're back from Shreveport, Louisiana. Did you do any crocodile hunting down there?
No, we didn't do any crocodile hunting. I did. I was fortunate enough to drive around the city some. My buddy Nick Christiana. This is actually interesting, Dave. Me and Nick knew each other when we were doing heroin together.
Oh,
and we're like drug buddies. Uh-huh. Yeah. And out of all the guys that that I knew from then, he's one of the, he may be the only one that's alive out of all of those people. And he actually came out of the other side, and he runs his dad's company, a food distribution company, kind of like Cisco. It's a real big company. And he has come out on the other side now, running the company, doing very well for himself. He's a little older than me, and he's got real into bodybuilding. So he came and helped me out during the weekend, and we drove around Shreveport a little bit. And that place, that is the deadest city that I've ever been in.
I like it. I like it, though, for some reason. It's like cool. I don't know. I like the casino aspect of it.
Only the casinos. You drive around the river and the casinos. If you go a little further away, I've never seen any. It reminds me, you know what it's like? It's like, you know, Columbus. When you drive a little too far out of the city in Columbus, out of downtown, yeah, after the Arnold, like when you're going to the club or after you go out to the club, you'll drive back and you'll see like the like just area that looks like all ghetto, that doesn't, like, almost looks like it's just been abandoned. Shreveport is like 99% abandoned.
Now,
the buildings are just
you
there.
Just don't know where to hang out. You see, when I went, I hung out with the locals, and the locals took me to all the cool spots. There's some art there, and you got to just know where to go. You didn't know where to go. That's all. You were driving around like the city. You know, the city is not the place you want to hang out with. You know, you got to go to the good spots, you know, the real local spots, you know, where they get the legitimate food. Like the local food spots, establishments, and there's some good culture there. I think you missed out. You missed the boat on that.
I don't know. I'm from New Orleans, and there's plenty of culture. I'm familiar with the Louisiana culture.
Yeah, nothing
and gumbo
beats,
and crawfish.
Nothing beats,
stuff.
Yeah, Louisiana. I mean, New Orleans, that's like a world in and of itself, you know. So, but I like the whole backcountry, like, you know, those very remote spots. You know, I wouldn't want to live there, but I enjoy going to remote areas. For some reason, there's a level of peacefulness there that you don't get in, like, New York, because it's like in New York, you can't, like, escape. There's no place where it's, like, too quiet. I mean, I can go in my backyard, but, you know, 3 feet to my right is my neighbor's house, you know. So I sometimes enjoy
I guess. I don't know. I think that if you were there with me, you'd be you would not be saying this right now, but you never know.
I've been to Shreveport two, three times before.
So I know, but you didn't get to drive around and like see the city. You know what I mean? Oh, you probably just went from place to place like we usually do.
As a matter of fact, I did drive around because when I was there, I was staying in one of the casino hotels and I dropped my phone in the toilet bowl there, I remember.
Oh, you're right.
And I needed to look for an AT&T store, and Prince Harrison and I were driving everywhere looking for a store. So I saw the whole thing. I know it's kind of, it could be depressing if you look at it from that perspective, but I'm glad they hold a bodybuilding show. I know Superman Blunt and Prince Harrison really want to inject some money into that economy, and I think it's a good spot.
The show itself in the casinos where they're holding this, actually, this year they moved it to make it like a full expo. They moved it into the Shreveport Convention Center, which is small, but it's brand new, and it's the art. So, like, between the hotels, the casino hotels are very nice. They really, it looks like all the money in Shreveport was spent between the hotel casinos and the convention center, basically.
Tourism is a very big part of that now, that area.
Yeah, because people come. People literally come just to gamble. Cheap. Spend their money and gamble because these places are... Yeah, you get the place that we stayed, the hotel that... the Samstown Casino Hotel. The rooms were great. I mean, for $80 a night, you get like a serious, probably a 500, 600 square foot room.
Yeah, no, the prices are right. And I think a lot of people who do gamble like to go there because the casinos are beautiful. You would think you're in Vegas. And well, anyway, let's get to the show. Jose Raymond, as we all predicted, dominated this event rather easily. Although I got to be honest with you, I'm sure Jose is going to be even tighter this coming week for New York Pro. But Marco Rivera and Lyndon Belgrave, were impressive, at least in the pictures to me.
Lyndon Belgrave actually was, to be honest, I guess because I know what, we saw Marco Rivera in Orlando 2 weeks ago, and I've seen Jose many, many times. And although Jose was very good here, he was very close to his best ever. Not quite his best, but very close. The guy that surprised me was Lyndon Belgrave from Barbados. Do you remember ever seeing him before?
No. Well, if I did, I don't think he was this good. No, he was not this good the last time I saw him.
He is, he's a little tall for the 212 division, but he, I would say maybe like 5'9 and a half, 5'9. But he was peeled. I mean, totally peeled. And the guy, if he would have known how to pose better, and like, for example, this is a really a mistake that he was making big time. He would keep his hamstrings tight, and his hamstrings were totally separated. And then he'd leave his glutes loose. Like they were like, they looked like there was not a line in them. But in reality, as soon as he would hit them, when he'd hit them for just a second, they were totally striated. But he just wasn't ever keeping them tight on any of his back shots.
That's called stage experience, and he doesn't have that much of it, absolutely. Obviously. So,
So he impressed the hell out of me. And I think that, that he has potential to be really good if he has somebody help him out a little bit with that. I don't mean he couldn't have been any leaner. That was as dry and lean as people get, pretty much.
You got to consider the competition. There was five guys in the whole show, so obviously he's going to shine. If Lyndon shows up in New York, I think that he might not do as well as he did here, obviously. And but Marco Rivera, another second place, that he's got to be thrilled with that. He's got New York Pro next week, and I think then he'll be done for the year. But obviously next week he's going to have his work cut out with the likes of Kevin English and Jose Raymond and whoever else is going to be in that lineup. We don't have the official list yet, but I assume there's going to be a couple of the real good guys. I know Nathan DeTracy's doing it. Luis Santa, who he did the wrap-up with, he's going to be doing it. And he was down in Shreveport because his wife was in the show, right?
Yeah, Yolanda
Alvarado.
Alvarado. Mm-hmm. Alvarado.
Fifth place.
She looked great, man. She was, you know how it is with figure. You got to kind of work your way up the ranks. I could see her doing really good in some shows in the future. She's got a really good, very small. Her only downside is she's only 5 feet tall.
Oh, is she? I didn't realize she was that small.
Yeah, she's 5 feet tall, and I think she said 107 pounds. So she's almost like Heather Mae French's size, which didn't hurt Heather Mae French, but it's pretty rare to have a girl that's really good that's 5 feet tall. Mm. But she's great. She has a lot of potential.
Interesting. Yeah, because I was looking at the pictures, and I didn't realize that was his wife. She's beautiful, obviously. But like you said, I guess in person, the shortness sometimes detracts. Although she's got a tiny, tiny waist. Sometimes these girls that are short have they're a little thicker at the waist. And I think that's why Heather Mae French was always so good in figure, because she also had that little teeny, teeny, tiny waist. So I think she's going to do well moving forward. It's funny. I don't know. Do they have kids, Lewis and her?
No. No, they don't.
Oh, I thought he had kids. Yeah. No?
I don't think so. I mean, they didn't mention anything about any children. I'm pretty sure they don't, but...
They'd have some pretty short kids.
Maybe he's got one from a... Yeah, yes, they will have some short kids. It's interesting, you know, I asked her, you know, why she didn't have his same last name. Mm-hmm. Or why she decided to keep her her maiden name.
Yeah.
And it turns out, this is interesting, in Puerto Rico, it's traditional for the woman to keep the father, her father's name, even when they're married. Because that way, in case you just have daughters, the name, your last name will get carried on.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. So is that why these Spanish guys and these Mexican guys have 18 names?
Yes, that's exactly why.
Holy mackerel. They should drop one. They should only keep the most immediate one. They should drop the other ones after that. Because what happens
is, you're showing disrespect to all the family.
Yeah, but what happens after another 5 or 6 generations, they have so many fucking names, you know, that you don't even know what to call them anymore. I don't know which last name to use for half these guys. And sometimes they don't go with the very last name. They'll go with, like, the third name or the second name or, you know, I get confused a lot of times. So.
Yeah, you go to the Arnold Amateur, you'll see a lot of that.
Yes. Now I know. I didn't know that. Now you explained it. I guess it's good to have Luis.
Well, I asked in the interview because I just thought it was interesting. Like, you know, when I interviewed her after, I was just curious. You know, I was hoping I wasn't stepping on any toes or anything like that. But, you know me, I wanted to ask, you know. And they explained it. I was very surprised that it's traditional, that he actually did it out of a sign of respect for her father.
That's, you got to respect the dad, right? It's good to... It's good when you have someone like Luis Santa on the payroll, or not on the payroll, but on the team at least, because he offers a little bit of extra knowledge that we might not have. You know, I'm one of these guys that wants to learn. If I can learn one thing every day, I'll be good to go. So now the weekend was a success for us.
There you go.
What'd you think about Monica Specking?
This is the best she's ever looked. She was definitely tighter in the glutes.
She obviously won the show.
Yeah, she was the winner. Right. She was the winner and deserved to win. This was easily the best she's ever been. You know, she's been getting progressively better. And she did a lot of shows last year. I think she had 5 shows, she said, last year. And she took a little bit of a break. And her body definitely looks fresher. And this is a good look for her. If she keeps this up, I think she'll have a very good rest of the year, because I know she's planning on doing a few more.
Did she do well here because the lineup was weak, or is she really that good? Be honest.
If she was in Orlando, right, when Candace Keene won,
yeah,
I think that she would have been in front of Ann. So what was Ann, third?
Yeah.
So she would have been third or second. So yeah, she was good. She's definitely good. And Jamie DeBernard in second place, also very good. That's why I originally predicted that after seeing the lineup, I actually thought Jamie was going to win. So she looked great also. This was as good as she's been
I thought in your play-by-play you were saying something about Aunt Tony looked like she was going to be second. So what was your top three?
The reason why I said that was because the last call-out Lee Thompson did, he put Ann and Jamie DeBernard in the middle. So it was, you know, 2 on each side and then 2 in the middle and 2 on the other side. And he specifically moved them into the middle. So I just assumed, but I guess he was comparing for third and fourth or something. I don't know.
Oh, so you were abandoning your own opinions for who you thought the judges were.
Yeah, exactly. I thought that Ann deserved third. Her tan and everything, I heard it in Pittsburgh, her tan was off and her makeup wasn't right or whatever. All that stuff, her polish that we normally are used to seeing her having, was all there. The difference was from the glutes and her glutes in general, her whole back of her body basically was softer than we were used to seeing. I believe that was by design. They thought that they were looking for a little bit softer Antitoni, when in fact this whole top 5 lineup, including fourth place, Kimberly Shepherd, was extremely hard. This is probably the leanest, hardest top 5 I've seen in figure so far this year.
Yeah,
girls, other than Ann, was very hard.
I was looking at the pictures, and Ann did look a little soft from behind, and I was wondering, because I know she's always one of the most conditioned people, so I guess maybe the plan, or whatever her and Jack's plan was, that kind of backfired a little bit. She probably, from what I see, she probably could have been in that second place spot if she would have been her usual conditioned self.
Yeah, I think so.
What about Christy Taughty? Because she usually, I like her physique, you know, maybe because, you know, I like the blondes, but she usually does well. I like the way she looked in the pictures. What was your opinion of her?
You know, she just, I mean, the truth was that she was just a little bit, this didn't compare well. When you looked at them next to each other, I mean, she didn't, put it this way, she didn't deserve to be beating any of those girls.
Really? Because in the show, I thought she looked really good in the pictures. I mean, she won the Sacramento Pro last year. She was second at another show. So I thought, you know, she'd definitely be up there. But I guess it wasn't meant to be in the... Shreveport this weekend for her.
She did win the second. They split them into two callouts, the top five, and then the rest of the sixth through tenth. And she did win the second callout.
Well, winning second callout means nothing. It means a fucking. Well, if you have a plane ticket.
Actually, what it means is sixth place.
It means if you get if you have a plane ticket, you might get home if the airport isn't overcrowded or delayed. All right, it looks like it was a good weekend. Was there a powerlifting event down there? Strongman, rather.
There was a strongman event. Unfortunately, the strongman event took place in the middle of the two shows. So I went back to edit video. By the time I came back, it was done. You know, they do it 2 hours, and obviously, you know, it's important for us to get our content up. So, you know, I actually really wanted to. Our Power Hour host, Ryan Bracewell, was competing, I really wanted to interview him. I don't even know. By the time, like I said, by the time I ran back over there with the video camera, it was already done.
Look, I got to talk to Prince Harrison, because what these promoters need to do is, if they're going to hold strongman events at their shows, which a lot of these people are doing now because they're very popular, they should do what they do at the Arnold. The last event should be up on the finals on stage.
Absolutely.
That would make sense, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. I think it would be a great... Or they could have done it during... They had two intermissions. They could have set it up right there behind all the chairs, because there was a lot of room behind the chairs, behind, like on the far end. Imagine if the stage and all the chairs facing that direction. They had a lot of room back there. They could have had the final event and had everybody during intermission crowd around and watch the last whatever it was. But I think Prince missed the boat on that one, because there were a lot of people at the show, and I'm sure there were more people at the night show than were there to watch the strongman.
I think all the promoters should get into doing this, because it's exciting to watch that last event, because usually that decides the whole show, and usually people like to watch strongman. So it would only, I mean, especially if the show is not a really, really long show, like I'm sure this one wasn't, I would definitely put it in there. But good job this weekend, Aaron, and you held down the fort yourself over there, and all went well, and congratulations on doing a good job. Gave me the weekend off, at least.
Thank you. I had a pretty good time. You know, it's I gotta tell you, going by yourself, you know, it's tough. You know, it's a little tougher doing it all by yourself. But we made it work.
And next weekend you'll be down in Charleston, South Carolina for the Junior USA, where I'll be up in New York for the New York Pro. So it's going to be a very busy weekend for both of us. And I know that show is a very big show down in South Carolina. It's all one day Saturday, so you'll be doing busy. I'll be busy. New York Pro is all day Saturday, and I'm sure there's going to be a ton of content going up on that day.
Yeah, so. I got to be honest. I'm almost a little nervous, because it's going to be stressful. It's just me and Darielle there doing all that, but we're going to do it. We'll make it work.
You got the one and only Dan Ray down there. I'm sure it'll work great. Let's get to Ask Dave, and let's see what kind of questions the listeners have for me this week.
We got a lot. All right. We got a lot of questions. We got a lot, because it's been 2 weeks, if you remember.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll do as many as we can get to.
First of all, I wanted to just wish Darielle not really a first Mother's Day, but almost a Mother's Day. So,
thank you. That's very nice, Dave.
Did you celebrate Mother's Day with the mother when she's pregnant? I don't know how that really works. Is there any rules to that?
You know, I sent my mom flowers, 2 dozen like really pretty tulips, and my mom asked me, "Did I get anything for Darielle?" And I said, "No, she's not a mother. She's not a mother yet, right?" My mom was like, "Oh, you could have got her something," and I was like, "Ah, she's not expecting anything." But when she got home, you know, we hadn't seen each other because, she was not with me this weekend. Right. So, when she actually got back to the house, she said she was disappointed that I didn't get her anything. She was expecting something sweet.
It starts already.
I was like, oh. I really didn't know. I would have got her flowers, too.
You and I need to sit down. We need to sit down with someone and find out what the rules of etiquette are, because I don't know them either. I never buy gifts when I'm supposed to either. I don't realize it sometimes, so...
Ever buy gifts. I've never got a gift from you.
Well, I'm not going to buy you a gift, but I'm saying, you know, I'm talking about women. Women. I don't know when sometimes buy women the right kind of gifts, or, you know, what you're supposed to do, or, you know, what I'm always...
Who can we consult? Is there experts?
I'm sure there's people... I bet we have a woman listener out there who will send me an email with a very detailed listing of what events, life events that I need to remember and make sure I acknowledge, so... Yeah. All right.
Well, you did good this time. You mentioned it. That's a step in the right direction.
That is a step in the right direction. All right. Give me the lowdown. Here we go.
All right. Here we go. We're going to start at the beginning. And, you know, if we don't get to it, we're not going to get to all of them. There's no way. So we'll just have to, stop at some point. Okay. Dave, let's see. Here we go. Dave, this is from John Hysaw. Last week's interview, when you were talking with Don Long, you guys talked about touch-up training. Mm-hmm. What would your advice on this philosophy be? For instance, let's say your weak points are calves and biceps. Would it not be too much to train your scheduled body part, then hit four sets of calves and four sets of biceps as well? So doing this style of training, how would you go about it?
Well, I'm not an expert in touch-up training. That was Don Long's idea of doing, if you have a weak body part, to train it a little bit of it every single day. So if you have say your biceps are weak, he would do like a couple sets of biceps after every workout. Now, my personal feelings about touch-up training are that it would probably work short term. So if you did it for like maybe 4 to 6 weeks and then you didn't do it for like 4 to 6 weeks and then maybe you did it for 4 to 6. Otherwise, I would find that, at least with my body, I know it would overtrain really quickly. Don Long's got one of these bodies. It looks like he could, if he did pull-ups every single day, he probably wouldn't have no problem. Me, my back would shrink. So you got to kind of know your body. If you're very prone to overtraining, your body doesn't recover that well, you might be careful with the touch-up training. If you tend to abuse your body a little bit more and you know you recover well, it might be a technique you might want to employ. But I think it should be done I don't think it should be done continuously. And I don't think Don suggested it should be done continuously. It should be done short spurts.
All right. Next question is anonymous. Hey, Dave, when using clenbuterol and T3 or any other kind of fat burner pre-contest or in a dieting cycle, I tend to run a really hot temperature and can begin sweating very easily. Typically, when I'm engaged in any kind of physical activity, strenuous or not that strenuous, or when the temperature of around me is not cool, I get very hot. My temperature is never really cooled. And people, when they touch me, always say how hot I am. How can I figure this out so that I won't be sweating and overheating all the time?
Welcome to the jungle. Welcome to the world of bodybuilding. For 20 years, I was always sweating. You know, I'm just recently, since I've dropped weight, have I stopped sweating. It comes with the territory, you know. When you want to increase fat burning and you amp up your metabolism, you're going to be hotter. And that just proves that you're burning extra calories. And because when you burn extra calories, you release those calories as heat. If this guy wasn't overheated and he wasn't sweating all the time, I would be concerned if I were him as far as the fat burning process goes. You know, one of my clients contacted me. He was waking up with 96, you know, usually 98.6 is a normal body temperature. He was waking up at 96.2 and he wasn't losing any weight on the diet. And you know, I suspected right away that his thyroid was low. We sent him for some blood work, and sure enough, his T3 levels came back low. His T4 was normal, which is the inactive thyroid, and they had to put him on some Cytomel because he wasn't converting T4 to T3. So, you know, that's a good sign if you're hot. You know, obviously, you're not going to be dieting 24/7, 365 days a year, so you're going to have to deal with the heat a little bit. What do you think guys like PJ Brunn walk around in tank tops all the time? It's not because he's trying to show off. It's because he's sweating all the time, and I was the same way.
Huh. Well, PJ might be a bad example, but I see what you're saying. Let's see. Peter Berlison wants to know, Dave, I know you recommend a fiber supplement, and I've been taking psyllium husk twice a day for a longer period now. Is the husk as good a fiber supplement as you normally recommend? If not, what's the difference?
Well, psyllium husk is essentially psyllium, pretty much. And I do recommend psyllium, but I recommend that you take a soluble, which is psyllium, would be an example of, and insoluble fiber supplement, because they do slightly different things. You need both. So just buying pure psyllium is good to get the soluble fiber, but you still want the insoluble fiber, which helps alkalinize your colon. That the ins- the soluble fiber, excuse me, the insoluble fiber is what's responsible for pretty much making you immune to colon cancer. So you really want to get that in your diet. My Fiberlize product, the reason why it works so well and why people seem to like it as much is because it has both in there. And that's an important thing. Now, there's different types of soluble and insoluble fiber. So you might go to a store and find a dual fiber supplement that has a strong or powerful enough source of fiber. Psyllium is always the best insoluble. Excuse me, soluble. I keep fucking mucking it up. Psyllium always is the best soluble. Then you want to go with an insoluble. I use wheat bran, which is a really strong form and a very potent bran. Because a lot of times, you know, you can eat oat bran and get soluble fiber, but you have to eat 35 times more oat bran than you do psyllium to get the same effect. So it's obviously easier to get the psyllium in your diet. And that's the best advice for you would be to look for a dual fiber supplement. If you want, I make things kind of easy for you with the Fiberlize product, so give mine a shot.
All right, next question is from Bobby Hoyt. And he says, hi, Dave and Aaron. I have a two-part question. One, I'm on Dave's diet for the first time, and I'm wondering, does it hinder my fat loss progress to be taking BSN Aminox during my AM cardio? That's like as you know, it's amino acid supplement.
And he's dieting? Is that what he said?
Yeah, he's dieting. He's doing your diet, yeah.
I think he'd be all right. Some amino acids are not going to kill you. I mean, I don't necessarily, you know me, I'm not really a big amino acid recommender because I believe if you're taking in a good whey isolate, you know, you get so many branched chain amino acids already in there, you almost don't even need it. I think that a lot of people like to just use things, supplements, especially while they're dieting, because number one, they're hungry, so anything that they put into their body like kind of makes them feel good. And number two, it's a psychological thing where they think that they it's going to do something for them. I don't think it could hurt, like I said, as long as you're not overdoing it. I know people that drink these amino acid, branched chain amino acid drinks all day long, and that's not good. The problem with that is because if you do that, it does add calories. So if you're doing one scoop once a day, I think it's a good quality product. I've looked at it. You know, it's got a lot of high branched chains. It's got some of the amino acids that cause some nitric oxide release in there. So I think it would be fine.
All right. Next question. This is from Rob Robertson. Dave, I'm confused about the whole egg thing. If a whole egg is a complete protein, is eating just the white of the egg an incomplete protein? If it is an incomplete protein and a calorie is not a calorie, as per Chris Aceto and Dr. Scott Kindly, why do so many advise eating lots of egg whites but little to no yolk?
The term incomplete protein versus complete protein, all that means is does it contain all the amino acids, all the essential amino acids? So animal sources of protein are all complete sources of protein, whereas plant sources of protein are usually incomplete because they don't contain all the essential aminos. So by definition, both a whole egg, an egg white alone, and an egg yolk alone are all complete sources of protein. However, when you eat the whole egg, the biological value of it, or the absorbability of it, or the ability to assimilate it seems to be greater than at each individual part. So they rank a whole egg as 100, and I think an egg white is below that. So that's where that comes from. Now, I like, obviously, the whole eggs because I like the fatty acid aspect of it, especially from omega-3 eggs, which have very high omega-3 content to them. That's why I recommend them. But some people only recommend egg whites because I know at least back in the 80s and 90s, people were afraid to eat fat. So people were, you know, we would eat 12 egg whites with oatmeal or something like that. No one ate any fat. That was, you know, the 60s and 70s, they ate fat and protein. Then the 80s and 90s, everyone was fat free. And then now we're learning, obviously, that you do need fats. And now it's kind of more of a moderate approach of both. It's kind of like protein, fat, and some carbs. And that's probably the right choice there. So, you know, what you decide to use is up to you, what macronutrients you're trying to get in. I know people that don't like the taste of yolk, so they eat the egg whites and they'll put like a tablespoon of macadamia nut oil mixed in with it to get the fat content. So, you know, everyone does, you know, their own thing. I personally like the omega-3 whole eggs.
Okay. Next question is anonymous. Dave, what's your opinion on running multiple compounds in lower doses rather than just using one or two compounds in higher doses? Say five or six compounds at 200 to 300 milligrams each compared to two compounds at 750 to 1,000 milligrams each. Assuming the overall milligram is the same, what would a slew of compounds have any more benefit over just a couple?
They wouldn't. That's the answer. When you take one compound alone, you get X effect, okay? When you take two compounds together, they seem to have a synergism or they augment each other's effect. So one plus one, you know, one steroid plus one steroid doesn't equal two steroids. It equals like three or four steroids, you know, or I should say one or three or four times the power of it. So they have some kind of an augmenting effect of each other. When you add a third steroid in, you got a little bit more of an effect, but not much. By the time you get to the fourth steroid, it's not doing anything. You're not getting any greater of an effect. So that's why the ideal stack is usually anywhere from two to three different compounds. Now, if you take five or six compounds, you know, in the same dosage that you would get from, say, two compounds, you probably would not get any other a greater of a result. Now, the negative ramification of that is that you're kind of saturating all your receptors for all these different anabolics all in one shot because you're using everything at once. That's why I don't really opt for that. I would rather you pick two or three things at a time and then switch them up every 6 to 8 weeks so that you kind of can, you know, shock your body a little bit and expose it to something that it hasn't seen. Once you've exposed your body all at one time to everything, then what do you do when it doesn't work anymore?
You know, there's a popular guru that does that. You know who I'm talking about? Who does all the different, like, six, seven different things in, like, relatively small dosage? No?
Who's it, Milos?
I have to tell you off there. I'm not going to say
that. You know, a lot of times back in the day what people would do, and we've talked about this before, is they would take, a 25cc bottle, like an old Equipoise bottle, and they would put everything they had into that one bottle, every kind of, like, 18 different things, and they would just shake it up, and they would just take, like, a cc, you know, or two cc's every other day or something like that of the stuff, you know. It's like a shotgun approach, you know. Probably worked good for 6 to 8 weeks or so.
BLP. Remember BLP? He doesn't post very much anymore, but he had a 500cc bladder or something that he got from Australia and or something. Maybe it was a huge bottle, and he filled it up with like 10 different things, and he would shake it up and do 6 cc's every day.
Oh, my God. What a nutcase. Yeah, but yeah, Australia has bladders. You're right when you use that terminology. They have these big like 100cc or 50cc bladders.
I think they got 500 and 1,000cc
bladders. Oh, they do? You might be right. I don't know.
They did. I don't know if they have them anymore.
You might be right. I might be completely off. I never saw one of them, but I know people have asked me about those.
John from Greece wants to know, Dave, can you please tell me if natural fructose that exists in fruits is as harmful as the manufactured ones? In other words, should we avoid fruits at all costs?
See, when you eat fructose that's present in fruits, by eating the fruits, you're getting mostly fiber and water in the fruit. So you're really not getting a high amount of concentrated fructose. When you eat high fructose, what they're doing is they're concentrating the fructose. It's like 10 or 15 or 20 times more concentrated. So you're getting so much more of it. So, of course, that's going to be worse for you.
Next question is a good one, Dave. It's from Brittany. I guess I say her name. She didn't say not to. Brittany Moser. She's 19. She says, Dave, I'm 19 years old and I'm dieting for my very first figure show. I put a lot of effort into this show. And I'm very concerned about something that my boyfriend is making me do. I give my boyfriend a lot of blowjobs. And he doesn't like it when I spit out his semen. Come, Dave.
Yeah.
So I drink a lot of it and I'm concerned about the calories and the nutritional content of his semen. Could it be messing up my diet?
Wow. First of all, the fact that we have a female listener is a feather in our cap. And then we have one that's so blunt and forthright at such a young age. I love it. We should make her
She probably should have asked to be anonymous. That's one of the things. Jeff likes to skip through that, but, you know. Hey.
Yeah, you know what you should do, Aaron? You have, like, Ronnie Mund on the Howard Stern Show has, like, the babe of the week. We should have, like, the heavy muscle babe. Of the week or something like that. We'll make Brittany's the first one we have. The question is drinking cum, does it have calories? Well, truth be told, I mean, obviously there's some protein from the sperm, assuming that our boyfriend has sperm, you know, if he's on a cycle or not, he might not have too much sperm. The seminal, you know, fluids, you know, contain some fructose, believe it or not, because the fructose is what nourishes the sperm. That's what they eat. But there's not a lot of it in there. It's mostly water. I don't think that if unless she's drinking like 10 loads a day, I don't think that she's really got to worry about any calories or not. Now, if she's going around and drinking different guys' sperm all day long, that could be a problem. But I wouldn't mind having a girlfriend that drank too much sperm. That probably wouldn't be too bad.
I wonder how many. So in reality, if Brittany is drinking, let's say 10 loads a day, then she could really mess up her diet potentially on
potentially
that.
On that one. But you know, maybe she could just cut out one protein shake or something like that, and you know, make up for it. Wow, can you 19 today and actually enjoy it too? You know, she's actually looking forward to it every day. So,
Dave, here, what could have been, Dave?
Oh, yeah.
Will 2K, he wants to know, Dave, hey, I'm 27 years old, 5'9 and 180. I've been lifting weights for the past 4 years. I believe I have some slight posture problems, such as a slight winged scapula and rounded shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
They aren't that bad, but I feel like it's a problem and it restricts me somewhat. What types of exercises and stretches do you recommend to correct these problems?
Well, obviously, developing the lats and the pecs are going to really balance out that effect. Now, sometimes, I don't know if this guy's ever gone to the a physician or been genetically evaluated. Sometimes a winged scapula is a genetic, it's like a chromosomal defect. And it has a whole host of different maladies that go along with it, in addition to the winged scapula, and sometimes they have the pigeon breast. They can have, there's a whole bunch of other things. You can look it up online.
What the hell is a winged scapula?
It's like your shoulder blades, they touch each other in the back. They're winged back, almost like wings of a bird, as opposed to open. Like most people at rest, your scapula is open. If you pull if you row your arms back and pull your scapula together, that's only goes like that because you're pulling your arms back. But imagine if your scapula was always back there, like that. That's what I don't know if it's a nerve defect or if it's a muscle defect.
If you got that, you're definitely not going to do some stretches.
No, it's not going to help.
Change that.
I remember Victor Priskin diagnosed that on someone, and I'm not going to say who it was, but he told me that the only thing they can really do for a winged scapula is to fuse the scapula so that it doesn't open up anymore, in which case you're going to lose range of motion, but at least it would look normal, you know?
What about rounded shoulders? That sounds like a good thing, to have round shoulders. What does this mean? Rounded forward, like you can't bring them back?
It's probably his pecs that are defective too. You know, usually that when you have that winged scapula, the problem is you can't really train your pecs well, so then they kind of cave in. It's a whole overcompensation thing, you know. But the bottom line is that, you know, physical therapy, you know, is important. It's hard for me to explain on the air what stretches you should do, but there can be done. But I would go to an orthopedic surgeon or, you know, and get evaluated and see if there is a genetic component to this whole issue.
All right, next question is from Stephen Miller. Dave, is it okay to take Fiberlize at the same time as a keto meal of just chicken breast and almonds? Or should you have your meal and then take the Fiberlize an hour or two later on an empty stomach?
Either way is fine, but what I find a lot of people do that are on a diet, they like to do the fiber in between meals because it quells your appetite a little bit. Like what I used to do is I would take my fiber supplement, and obviously I didn't have Fiberlize when I was competing because I formulated it afterwards, but I would take my fiber supplement like right before bed, which kind of takes away that hunger pang that's in your stomach, and that works well. Another good time to take it would be like maybe during the period of the day where you would normally, you know, be a little hungry, maybe usually between breakfast and lunch or something like that. But, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, like sometimes if I'm in a rush to get out of the house, I'll just take my breakfast. I'll eat my breakfast, my vitamins, you know, and the fiber supplement, and then run out just because I got to get it all in my body, you know, before I leave.
Right. Next question is resubmit question from Mr. Detroit. All the reports, the new reports about metals being found in whey protein, what steps are you going to take to make sure Isolize doesn't have any metals in it?
Well, we test each batch. You know, every new batch we get in, they always send us a report on, you know, what the breakdown is, because I'm so concerned, you know, about number one, about lactose. I want to make sure that we're not getting a bad batch of whey isolate in. And we test to see if, you know, the fat content is what it's supposed to be, which is zero, and the carbs are low, down to almost zero. You know, there's always like a half a gram or something like that in there. But that's important, you know, it is, because sometimes these companies and the manufacturers don't even know it sometimes. If they don't test, you can get a bad batch, and, you know, someone's trying to sell you a cheap batch away, and then all of a sudden everyone complains they're getting, you know, stomach problems. And that's one thing, you know, people might complain that my protein's a little higher priced than the other ones, but no one will ever complain about getting, you know, bad gas or an upset stomach. The only mistakes I think I've ever seen is sometimes one time they screwed the flavoring up. It was supposed to be vanilla and it was cherry vanilla or something like that, but the components or the composition of the whey is always tested each new batch we get in, and that's important, I think. And obviously heavy metals are a problem. I haven't really heard of too many heavy metals in protein. I've heard about them in possibly in supplements, but not protein, but we do check for all that as well.
All right, next question. Dave, would alkalinized, this is from Donovan. Dave, would alkalinized water filters work in a place like Mexico, or will I still die from drinking the water?
You might alkalinize your Mexican water, but you're not going to get the bacteria out of it if there's a bacteria in there. Although some of these alkalinizing water filters do have some nice, I guess you could say, filtration systems that actually can remove bacteria and pathogens from the water. It just depends on how sophisticated the alkalinizer is. I guess maybe he's talking about the ion pod, if he brings that down there.
Yeah.
And if he does, the ion pods that I sell on the website, it's like a cool, like a little water bottle. You pour your water in it, it will alkalize it. That will not remove bacteria. So I would not drink the tap water in Mexico, no matter what. What you might want to do is bring your ion pod, but then buy a bottle of water and just pour it into the ion pod and make it sure it's alkalinized. I don't know if you've ever seen, Aaron, I don't know if you have an ion pod, but you probably don't give a shit. But if you test Poland spring water, you would think, here it is, you're getting this purified water, it's so healthy, but it's so acidic, the water, that it's ridiculous. If I use the Poland spring water bottles, like I have those big, you know, 25-gallon jugs, if I put those in my fish tank, I would kill my fish. That's how acidic they are, believe it or not. And matter of fact, the tap water is way less acidic than the Poland spring water. So that's an interesting concept. So if you are drinking bottled water, it doesn't mean you're getting alkalinized water. So I would still recommend that using the ion pod.
All right, next question is, this is from Joseph. Joseph wants to know, Dave, how toxic exactly is tren? And is enanthate more or less toxic than the acetate ester?
Trenbolone toxicity really doesn't lie in the fact that the drug itself is toxic, because you got to remember that injectables, by definition, really don't go through the liver twice. So the injectables are always less toxic to the liver than are, say, orals. Trenbolone acetate's a little more toxic because it's so quickly metabolized, and because of that, it'll go through the liver quicker than, say, a long-acting injectable like a trenenanthate, which would take a longer time to break down. So you're breaking down the compound over a long period of time. It doesn't put as much strain on the liver. By and far, I think the trenbolones, you know, I guess the thing that you have to watch out for the most with trenbolone is the fact that it raises your blood pressure. Pretty much everyone will report that, because it's so high in androgens, you definitely notice a blood pressure increase, and that can be dangerous if you're taking that for a prolonged period of time, and if you're not paying attention to the fact that your blood pressure goes up. Because I've seen guys go up to like 180 over 100, which is super high, and that's dangerous. So keep an eye on your blood pressure more so than worrying about the liver, you know, function stuff.
Okay. Next question is from Robert Puentes, and he wants to know, he has another question about getting to people with this alkalinized water stuff.
Yeah,
well, not to me, though.
I will.
You prepare
I will. You're a slow learner, but I will get to you. I already got you buying the, you're complaining tonight about the fact that you had indigestion from your cheat meal, so what did I tell you to go out and buy? Apple cider vinegar, right?
I haven't got it yet, though. I mean, that's something I need to get.
Nothing better. The only thing better than apple cider vinegar would be putting apple cider vinegar into alkalinized water, because what alkalinized water will do is instantly neutralize that acidity in your body, even if you didn't use the apple cider. So
you need to send me some of your ion pods, then.
That's right. I got to get you one.
Send Darielle some for the baby.
All right, I will.
Okay. Next question. Oh, he asks about if he uses the ion pods to alkalize water, can you prepare a large amount of water and then store it in the refrigerator?
No, that's the only drawback to, and that doesn't go with, that goes to with even with the filters. The alkalinization process doesn't last probably more than 12 hours. So it can start fading back. Now, the water is still purified. It's just it'll lose some of its alkalinity. So I recommend making the water fresh. That's why you want to carry your ion pod with you so you can make it fresh. You pour your water in there, leave it for 5 minutes. It turns alkaline and then drink it. You know, as far as my filter goes, you know, I fill up like a canister of water. I don't like my water cold, so I'll usually leave it on my counter. I'll make it every anywhere from 6 to 8 hours. I'll make a new batch of it, and that's how I drink it. Once again, for people who are interested in the ion pod, we've been talking about it, and maybe we have first time listeners. I sell it at DavePalumbo.com at a discounted price for you guys. So check it out for $45. You got 8 months worth of filtration, and then you can just replace the $3 filter in there. It's really a great buy.
All right, let's start to stump the jumbo. We got about five more Ask Daves that we can start with next week.
All right.
And let's do it. We got two I liked that came in. They were both bodybuilding related. We rarely get bodybuilding ones, so I wanted to do these two bodybuilding related stump the jumbos.
Let's do it.
The first one is from Stephen Miller, who plays quite a bit, as you know. He wants to know, Dave, Jay Cutler has the most second place finishes at the Mr. Olympia with 6. Who has the second most second place finishes at the Mr. Olympia contest?
Interesting. I don't, you know what? I don't know. I'm going to make a guess, but I really am not sure. I would probably think that it was, it's got to be either like a Flex Wheeler or a Kevin Lavroni, I would think, because Who's coming in second next behind Jay Cutler? That's what I got to think about all those times he won. It was kind of different people.
It doesn't necessarily matter, though. It's the one who's coming second, the most. Second most.
Right. Well, we know Jay Cutler has them. That's a good one. I don't even know. This is going to probably stump me on this one. I'll say it could be Sean Ray, too. He got a couple seconds. I'll say Flex Wheeler.
No, close. Kevin Lavroni, you were almost right.
I knew it was one of those guys. How many did he have?
I think Kevin had 4, and I think Flex had 3.
Oh, okay.
I think Sean only had 2, or maybe even only 1.
Yeah. Anyway, give him a t-shirt.
Good try. Stephen Miller gets a t-shirt, size large, going to New Jersey. Let's see if you lose 2 for 2. That would be bad, dude.
Yeah, I got
bodybuilding questions. You're supposed to, come on.
I got to redeem
myself.
Nobody
can get you with science questions. Okay. Lance Ippolito, which, by the way, he says that he never received his free t-shirt when he won a question.
Well, then it was your fault.
So,
because you never sent it to me.
I forwarded them all to you and Joel, so I it's out of my hands once I go to do that. I don't know. Lance, I honestly can't remember the question. How long ago? Question again. We'll remember it, and we'll send you the t-shirt. But good luck on this one. Here it is. Dave, here is my question. The original Organon 250 milligram ampules was a blend of 4 different testosterone esters. What are they, and what is the amount of milligrams in each one of the compounds that make up the original Organon Sustanon amp?
You know, I think I'm going to be able to get this because the interesting thing about it is that when I was taking steroids back in the day, I had Bill Phillips' book, The Anabolic Reference Guide, memorized backwards, forwards. I knew the names of every compound and every generic name of a compound and every brand of everything. And I've gone to, Spain myself and bought Sustanon in the pharmacy, so I know this rather well. First of all, before I give you the breakdown of what's in everything, I'll give you the 4 compounds. It's tespropionate, because that's number one, the fast acting one, and everyone knows the long acting one is test decanoate. Okay, the 2 in between, those are the ones that are a little harder to remember. Phenylpropionate is the second, quickest acting, and isocaproate is the middle one. So those are the 4 names. Am I correct on that?
You are correct on that.
All right. Now, I remember the decanoate, the long-acting one, has got 100 milligrams, and I know that the propionate has 30 milligrams, and that leaves 120 milligrams unaccounted for, which I think they're equally divided, so I think it's 60 and 60, right?
Yep. Dave, you got that one right. You don't know another t-shirt.
Yeah, right. Good. I redeemed myself.
Very good job, Dave. Very good job. I'm going to forward this one, Stephen Miller's one, to you and to Joel right now. so that you can't say that I did not do what I'm supposed to do. You are now responsible for the T-shirt.
I can give you even, I can impress you with my steroid knowledge a little more if you want. I remember when I went to, in Spain, if you go into the pharmacy there, they actually have a Sustanon 100. Believe it or not, it's used for
really 100.
It's used in for kids, you know, who are like going through treatment, and that one's propionate, phenylpropionate, isocaproate, and it's like it's a total of 100 milligrams.
How much did those cost back in Spain?
Like two bucks. 2 bucks. An amp.
How about the 250 milligram ones? How much do those cost?
You know what? The funny thing is, they were both the same price.
Oh, really?
So of course, we bought all the 250s. I think we actually bought so many 250s that we cleaned them out, and we might have bought a couple of hundreds just because, you know, we wanted everything, you know, that kind of thing.
So if you bought them for $4, what do you sell them back in the States
for? $2 we bought them for.
Oh, $2, sorry. What do you sell them for in the States?
At the time, this was back in the 90s, I think they were sold for... Well, I was selling them for $12 probably to my friends. I don't know. You know, whatever the case was back in the day. You know, but then people would remember there were no 10cc bottles of anything aside from, unless you got the American stuff. And that American stuff wasn't around. In 1990, you got to remember, that's when they made steroids a controlled substance. So no one can get anything. And the only thing going around was fake stuff. So what was happening was all the European steroids, because Europe was still very pharmacies and buy anything you want there. So everyone was using single ampules, which made everything cost more, but at least you know the stuff was legitimate. There was no underground labs. People today don't even know. It's like so easy today to get stuff, whereas back then it was, you know, you had a real Sustanon 250 amp, you were, you know, golden, you know. And then obviously then the Russians got involved, and they started making Russian Organon Sustanon. Who knows if it was even Organon. I'm sure the Russians were just knocking it off, but those amps were much cheaper, obviously.
So in reality, if you weren't really connected and had a good hookup, a guy who was taking a fair amount, like a national level or a pro guy, would be spending a lot of money. You could be spending $200-$300 a week, easy, in steroids.
Yeah. Well, I mean, no one. You know what the difference was, Aaron? No one used the quantities that they use today. So if you used 4 amps a week, 1,000 milligrams a week, that you were like crazy. People thought like I was insane, you know, using that amount. That's why today they think you're a chump if you only use 1,000 milligrams.
Yeah, that's interesting. What did the steroids cost before it became illegal? Like, I know you weren't taking anything back then, but I'm sure you heard when you wanted to go to the pharmacy and buy a bottle of tests.
Oh, it was like $10-$15, I think, for a 10cc bottle back then. Yeah.
Maybe they were using more stuff back then.
Yeah. Matter of fact, there was at one point, I think it was maybe the mid 90s, or there was a Steris was a company that was making American anabolic steroids, and there was a gluttonous amount of these available to the public for about a 2 or 3 year period. I'm not going to say who was providing them, but everyone knows who the person is if I mention the name. And there was so much of it. And, you know, if you bought enough of it from this person, you got them really cheap. And I think they were selling like $20 for 10cc bottles. But this was like real American stuff, which was a tremendously great price. And people might have been reselling them for $35-$40, maybe $50 the most. But even if you think about that, to have real American, you know, testosterone, that was an amazing thing. And you got to remember, they didn't make like Decker in 10cc bottles back then. They were in 2cc bottles. Right. So you might pay, you know, $18 or $20 for 2cc's of Decker, but that Decker was super, super strong, you know, and you know, people got good results from it. So people would use 400 milligrams of Decker and you know, 800 milligrams of test, and they would grow like weeds back then. So I don't know if it was the stuff was better or if people just, you know, back then. I don't know. But no one was using the dosages that the guys are using today. That's for sure.
All right. Well, that's it, Dave. If you guys got a question for Dave, email me at jubaca@rxmuscle.com and put in the title Ask Dave to ask a question. You want to be anonymous? Say you want to be anonymous. You want to stump the jumbo? Make that the title. Ask the question. Provide all the stuff. And we'll try to stump Dave next week and get you a T-shirt.
All right, Aaron. Good work. And we will hear from you next week after the NPC Junior USA. Aaron will be down in Charleston, South Carolina. I'll be up in New York at the New York Pro. We got to go to commercial break. We'll be back in 2 minutes with Cedric McMillan.
This is Heavy Muscle Radio, only on RxMuscle.com. Myotropics Physique Nutrition is the most exciting supplement company to come along in decades. That's because Myotropics isn't just another company. It's the brainchild of iconic metabolic expert, Dr. Scott Connolly, the inventor of the original body recomposition product that changed the industry and allowed millions of people to get in the best shape of their life. And CEO Vince Andrich, author of the groundbreaking Physique Athlete Guide. Myotropics' flagship product, Physique 2.0, contains their exclusive Meta Effects Amino CD protein compound that maximizes whole body protein economy, your personal linchpin for gaining and retaining the most muscle while also shedding maximum body fat. Plus, Physique 2.0 contains the world's first legitimate fat-burning carbohydrate, Meta Effects FAO-CHO, for full hard muscle and increased fat burn. If you live to develop the ultimate physique, go with Myotropics, real people that live to develop physique nutrition. Go to myotropics.com. It's your body. It's your art. Master it. Myotropics.com.
Iron Mag Labs is the leading supplement company offering the most hardcore pro-anabolic supplements on the market. Visit IronMagLabs.com and check out our top-selling pro-anabolics. Methadrol Extreme, Super DMZ RX, Cytostain RX, and E-Control RX with 6OXO. Iron Mag Labs makes supplements that actually work. No hype, no BS, just real results. There's a reason you keep hearing about Iron Mag Labs. Come see what you're missing. Visit IronMagLabs.com for the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements.
Paying inflated prices for products which are full of hype and fillers? At Bulk Nutrients, you get the purest products available direct from our factory. There are no middlemen, contractors, distributors, or shopfronts. Bulk Nutrients stocks protein, carbs, aminos, pre-workout recovery, encapsulated products, fat burners, test boosters, and so much more. Bulk Nutrients is 100% Australian-owned and operated, and will give you higher quality and better prices guaranteed. So visit bulknutrients.com.au. It's your one-stop shop.
Who are the Iron Sirens? The heroes. Susie Curry. Adela Garcia. Jenny Lynn. Crystal Richardson. Who are the Dark Divas? Gina Aliotti as Diva X. Jen Gates as Shade. Liza Kamstra as Black Lotus. Sonia Gonzalez as Raptress. And their story is told only in Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens is a one-of-a-kind limited edition comic book series and is the brainchild of J.M. Mannion. Order your copy of Iron Sirens today before they're gone. Visit IronSirensComics.com. That's IronSirensComics.com to get your copy of Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens. Iron
Sirens. Are you looking for some of the most groundbreaking, highest quality nutritional supplements on the market? Then look no further than BioFlex Nutrition. 100% Australian owned and direct from the manufacturer. You'll get some of the most pure and affordable supplements offered today. Better yet, with no proprietary blends or fillers, and by including only the best ingredients, we proudly bring to the market Australia's purest range of supplements. Find us online at bioflexnutrition.com.au. BioFlex Nutrition, Australia's purest supplements. That's BioFlex, ready to go.
RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up-to-the-minute news and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com.
Heavy Muscle Radio.
Our next guest is one of the most genetically talented men in the pro bodybuilding professional ranks. He's turned pro maybe easier than anyone else out there. He won his first pro show last year at the Orlando Show of Champions, and we're lucky to have him here today. Welcome, Cedric McMillan.
Hey, what's going on, everybody?
You had a very easy time getting your pro card. You won the pretty much year after year. You won the South Carolina State Championship. Then you won the Junior USA overall. I remember I was there. Then you won the Nationals the year after that. And all was going well You went into the pro ranks in 2010, and this is just a recap because we've talked about this all before. You placed fourth at the Europa show. Some people thought you should have won that year. You came back the next year, which was last year in 2011. You won the Orlando show of champions, and then New York Pro, you dropped to a disappointing 11th. Talk to me about what's been going on this past year. What happened last year? It was probably your worst year, I would have to guess, of all your years competing.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, in the middle of the offseason for that 2011 competition year, I think it was a week. It was like the Sunday before Christmas. My wife and kids were in a real bad car accident. I'm pretty sure everybody knows about this already, but they were in a real bad accident. Anyway,
how bad, Cedric, how bad is bad? Explain to us exactly what happened.
Okay, all right. Now, I get real emotional when I talk about it.
That's okay. Kind of hard,
but anyway, she was going about 55. She swerved off one side of the road. She overcorrected, and it turned the car sideways. And while she was doing about 55, she hit a tree. Was fucking huge. She hit a tree with the driver's side of the car, the driver's side. So it hit her door, and my baby boy was in the back seat. It hit his door, you know, and it just wrapped the car around it. So anyway, I'm thinking, okay, they were in an accident, cool. But when I get a phone call that says, your family's been in an accident, I said, are they okay? And my leader said, you just need to get to the hospital. And I said, oh, shit. And I said, what happened? He said, all I can tell you that I know is that they had to get airlifted. All of them had to get airlifted to the hospital. So I was like, okay. So anyway, I get to the hospital. My wife's laid out, man. She had a broken scapula. She had a fractured lower back. She had a broken pelvis. She had glass all everywhere, man. She had a knee got busted open with something. And all of this while she was 6 months pregnant.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and what was happening is she started having contractions, and at one point they were talking about having to take the baby out because the contractions could cause internal bleeding because of all the bricks she had inside, you know? And that was her. Now, my oldest son, he had a broken tibia, just a lower leg, and he had a concussion because I think his head, you know, kind of hit something on the side. Mm-hmm. So he was bleeding out of his ears a little bit, and his face was swollen. And my baby boy, he had bruised lungs. He was what they considered at the time, I guess it was one step away from brain dead because they call it brain trauma. Yeah, when the paramedic told me when he pulled up, he said, your son was convulsing and showing signs of brain damage. That's what he told me. Mm. And so when I finally was able to get to him where he was, they had a breathing machine. They had a tube in his mouth because of his bruised lung. They had him sedated because if he was awake, it would be too much pain.
What does a 300-pound bodybuilder feel in his mind? I mean, you have to feel the most helpless you've ever felt in your life, I would imagine.
Yeah, and that was the most stressful part of it because it was like, it ain't shit I can do except try to take care of him, you know, and it was even harder because it was just, the hospital was huge, and they were all in three different parts of the hospital that probably took five or eight minutes to get from one to the other, right? So what I was doing, this is the reason why I wouldn't get much sleep. I would go sit with one for an hour, and then I would go to the other, and then the other, and I did that. I rotated that, you know, all day, all night. And if a visitor came, I had to go to the entrance, get them, and take them around to see everybody outside of my rotation. You get what I'm saying? So it was going on like that.
Of course. And how long did this?
This was, I think it was a week before Christmas, which I think Christmas was that next Saturday, and we were still in the hospital 2 days after Christmas. So it ended up being about eight or nine days that we were in the hospital. And the next toughest part of it is when they finally took my baby boy, the one that they said had the brain trauma, he also had a broken femur. And so they had him in a full body cast.
Oh, my God.
And it was like, it go from below his knees up to his chest. And that's the type of cast, something like that, I can't think of. But anyway, when they took him off the sedation, from what the doctors explained to me and from what I could see, it's like he was a newborn baby again. Now, here he is, 2 years old. He can walk and talk and eat and everything like that. But now he just stares off into space. His eyes were going in two different directions. He wouldn't respond to sight or sound. You could put your fingers in front of his eyes and he wouldn't blink. It's like he didn't see nothing. He couldn't hear nothing. He couldn't eat. All I could do was put a little straw to his mouth to get him to drink something. You know what I'm saying? It was real tough.
Terrible.
You know, so he was just laying there. So I thought, oh, my God, my son is going to be stuck like like this forever, you know. So that was the toughest part. So I didn't give a fuck about eating. I didn't care about nothing except, you know, trying to be there for them and take care of them, you know.
People don't know that, who don't have families and who have never had something like that, or have gone through something like that. I mean, it's amazing that you even got into these shows. I mean, what possessed you to even do them at that point?
Oh, okay, well, what happened, this is what happened. I get a call from Muscle Tech saying, you know how you do, we're sorry about your family, blah, blah, blah. Hey, are you going to go to the Arnold Expo? Because, you know, we want to bring you to the Arnold booth if you can make it.
Right.
Of course I'm not going to say no. Yes, sure. I can make it to
it's
the Arnold.
Contract, yeah.
Now, granted, when we finally got out of the hospital, I had three people in wheelchairs.
Yeah, I don't know how you did it. You were like the only caretaker.
Yeah, nobody could walk, you know, so it was weird. So anyway, I got ready. We got some family to come over and help out. And I hauled ass to the Arnold and did that, you know. And I probably worked out for a week before the Arnold because I was like, there's no way I can show up looking like this, you know.
Right, right.
So everybody's like, oh, man, why are you so lean? I was like, you just don't know, man, you know.
Anyone else would have disappeared completely. You got leaner from all the stress, yeah.
Yeah, so what happened is... at the Arnold, I said, I just thought to myself, I said, with all of this stuff going on, all of these athletes out here, I need to try to compete. I said, because my contract for Muscle Tech ends in June. I said, if I don't compete this year, even though, you know, I feel like I have a good reason to not, but if I don't compete, maybe I won't get, you know, up for renegotiation.
Sure.
So I said, let me try to get myself in shape and compete. Well, from Dallas, I knew, okay, my conditioning wasn't on point like it needed to be, so let's focus on conditioning this year. Let's make sure I can show them that I can get hard, I can get lean, you know?
Right.
Well, and already starting out minus, you know, 20, 30 pounds from off-season weight because I lost so much, then to start a hard diet, focus on nothing but conditioning, you can see what happened. I just, you know, that weight started breaking down.
You lost you lost all the gains from the off-season, is what you did, is what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly. And I was having a great off-season. And then on top of that, once you know, my job, they were real helpful, you know, giving me time off. But once I got some family to come over, some of my wife's family came over to help out, then I needed to go back to work because I couldn't just stay gone for too long. So here we go. So I ended up working before these shows, and they didn't have anybody to replace me. Well, for the Orlando show, it's a trip because my daughter was born Tuesday morning, and I flew to Orlando Tuesday afternoon.
Oh, my God. I didn't know that. Yeah. I didn't know your daughter was born that day.
Yeah, because, you know, my wife, like I said, she was saying, hey, my wife was still in a wheelchair, and she had to go to labor. So I was like, wow. And I had to leave her because I had to go compete, you know?
Well, people don't realize your family didn't heal up in, like, 1 month. It took months and months and months before they were back to normal.
It was August, September, before everybody got better. So, you know, and people on the internet, they would say, you know, Cedric had a meltdown. Man, listen, what I was trying to do when I was in Orlando is I was like, okay, it's fans out there that want to see me compete. They want to know what's going on. They know about my family. So I was just trying to share some of my thoughts with them, you know, trying to be open, right? Well, you see what the hell happens when you do stuff like that on the internet. People just take it and they turn into piranhas. You know what I'm saying?
You're talking to the most talked about guy on the internet right here.
Right. So I learned my lesson with that. And my lesson is, just like my deep tissue massage lady said, shut the fuck up, keep it simple. Because people just going to take your words and run with it. You know, they don't give a damn about you. They just want to gossip and talk, you know. So that's what I did.
You still won the show, though. That's the amazing thing. You still won the freaking show.
Well, yeah, I won the show. But what I did is I wasn't satisfied with the way I looked. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so I expressed that. I expressed, hey, I know a lot of guys backstage that looked at Cedric and said, damn, Cedric is flat. Cedric's not in his tip-top shit. How the fuck? You know what I'm saying? And I'm looking at myself like, I know what I went through to get ready, and I'm sure I understand what these guys went through as well. I can just understand how it feels to be in their shoes, because just last year, I lost Dallas. So I understand how it feels. And that's where it started. And then it all turned into, you know, a whole bunch of other shit, you know? But anyway.
Did you get too caught up in the whole internet bullcrap thing? Do you admit that you might have should have just kept your mouth shut, maybe?
Okay, but here's what I'm under the impression of. When you have a contract and it's your duty to go on the forums, you know, and communicate with the fans, it's not like I didn't think it was possible for me to not go on there.
Right.
I can't let questions and responses go for days and days without responding.
Sure.
Or else I'm gonna get a call like, hey, you need to check your form.
Right.
So I can understand that. So I was, caught up in it, but my emotions was in it too because of everything that I had gone through.
Mm.
But I was just trying to keep the dialogue coming because if people are talking to me, I'm supposed to talk back. So that's what I was trying to do. Well, then it turned into some type of, some bullshit. You know all about it.
You know,
oh, well, Cedric, blah, blah, blah. Hey, you're saying this, but you were the guy that was like, look at your name on my shirt last year. What happened to that?
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Did you, did it affect you mentally going into that New York Pro, all the negative internet crap that was going on?
Okay. No, because at that point, I just kind of, that's when I had to realize, okay, I'll see how bad it can get. You know, you would think, I'm from the country, man. We don't do forums. We don't do shit like that. You know, we talk to each other man to man. And if I got something to say about you, if I do say it, I'd be prepared for it to get addressed.
Of course.
To me, you know what I'm saying? But on the internet, we got nameless, faceless people that are just free to say whatever the hell they want to say, and there's nothing you can do about it. Well, that took an adjustment for me because I'm not used to that. You know what I'm saying?
Normally, in the country, what do? You go fist to fist, right?
Well, in the country, is, hey, man, what was that shit that they were saying you said about me?
Right.
You know, and like my grandma said, if you ain't going to say nothing nice, don't say nothing at all. So the way I came up with, okay, and I'm just going to apply the lessons I learned to bodybuilding. If you like a bodybuilder, him, support him. If you don't like a bodybuilder, don't talk shit about him because you don't like him. Don't complain about his physique because you don't like him. Just don't like him.
Well, these people are the same people that if they saw you in person would probably shake your hands and get an autograph from you, making fun of you, I'm sure.
Well, guess what? There's no way I know because their names and pictures and shit ain't even on there, so who knows? You know what I'm saying? And what they say is it's all opinions, and I can understand it, and I'm cool with that because I see it now, you know? But sometimes I'm not able to understand the dry sarcasm and the what looks like something serious is really I'm telling a joke or I just like to create drama. You know, I just don't play like that. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
I can't understand that shit. So once my muscular development contract was over, I was able to completely remove myself from the whole forum thing.
Yeah,
I swear that I like that because I don't have to deal with that. I don't have to read that stuff. I don't have to respond. You know, I can just let these guys have fun. You know, I understand it's entertainment. So just let them have fun. Let them do that. I'm not knocking what they do. The only thing I think about the forums and these free opinions is, once again, if you don't have nothing nice to say, don't say nothing. So support the physiques you like and don't talk shit about the physiques you don't like because somebody out there likes that physique. Otherwise, they wouldn't win. You know what I'm saying?
Well, my motto is don't let the good opinion of others influence anything in your life. And it's a tough motto to stick by, but it works.
Yeah.
Were you very disappointed when you placed 11th at the New York Pro? What went through your head when you got that placement?
I can tell you what happened in New York. So me and Jason, we were talking throughout that whole prep and everything. And when we were all standing on stage and we had each other making funny faces and shit like that, right? And you know, when they were calling names, and when we missed the first call, I looked at him. I was like, "What the fuck?" And he was like, and he shrugged his shoulders, like, "I don't know, dude." You know, so we waited.
You're talking about Jason Ha.
Yeah. And the second call out did the same thing. And I looked at him, and he looked at me like, "What the fuck?" I was like, "Man, I don't know." You know, and so we kind of seen what was happening as they were doing the call. I was like, "Hey, dog, we way in the back of the line," you know. And I was like, "Shit, I could understand," you know, because I looked in the mirror before I went to the hotel. Before I left the hotel, mm-hmm. I was like, "Something is not right, man." And what ended up happening with me for New York, I can't blame the loss of size. We already got that covered, but going into New York, they couldn't find anybody to cover my position. Well, I left to go to New York on Tuesday. Yeah, it was either Tuesday or Monday. Well, me and my soldiers, well, we were in the field. We were doing the field portion of our training, which is we teach them tactical leadership. So we're outside, you know, running missions and stuff like that, right? Well, guess what? It's South Carolina, and it's June almost. So it's 105 degrees outside, and we road marching and stuff like that. So, you know, here I am, you know, trying to drop a little bit of water, you know, some little mild stuff, but I got to drink 4 gallons because I'm in this heat. So I started getting a little lightheaded, so I had to take a couple of, they gave me a couple of IVs because I wasn't feeling real well. Well, guess what? That night, I got on the plane. you know, sometimes that makes you whole, and it makes it even worse. So I get on the plane, I fly to New York, you know. So all of that kind of shifted my water a little too soon. It was just, you know, it was just real weird.
On top of the fact that you still didn't have the size back that you had lost.
Exactly. You know, so and that makes a difference. And my type of physique, you know, I got to have that fullness. You know, the muscle separation alone is just not enough. I got to have that fullness in order to look right, you know, because I'm not a very deeply striated person, but I got good separation, and the muscle bellies can be kind of round when I'm full, so I needed that, and to not have that just made me look, you know, that much worse. So I understood that. But here's the thing with that. I had already committed the year before my family was even in an accident, to go through New York. I'm on the flyer.
Yeah.
And I even talked to Steve Wamba. I called Steve, you know, when I was in Orlando, I was like, man, you know, I thought I could compete, man, but it's just too much on me right now. My wife is on the phone talking about the baby. I'm not there for her. I can't be there for anything. And then I'm here stuck competing. You know, I said, Steve, I said, I don't think I could do the show, man. And he was like, Cedric, I understand you got a lot going on, you know. But then I thought about it. I said, I got to be a man of my word, right. You know. Oh, yeah, okay, so I'm not in my best shape, but I got to be a man of my word. I'll do the show. I'm on the flyer. I got to.
Well, yeah, that's a very, I guess, responsible thing to do, because a lot of guys wouldn't. They would back out. A lot of guys, you didn't back out of your Arnold appearance. You didn't back out of the show. And I think that probably the people will respect that moving forward. Now, I mean, I've seen some pictures of you recently that Chris Aceto sent me. I'm like flabbergasted. I mean, you look like you're about 20, 30 pounds heavier.
Yeah, I'm actually right now probably 30 pounds heavier at this point than I was last year. You know, and I was on the verge of this last year anyway. It's just everything, you know, I had to slam the brakes on everything.
Right.
So luckily, hey, the kids are running around. Everybody's doing great.
Everyone's healthy.
Everybody's healthy. Everybody's doing good. My baby girl, she give me kisses. You know, so everything is great, man. You know, and my job, you know, we're doing a little bit of downsizing, so we got some extra people that can help out. Man, they've been taking it easy on me. I've been chilling, just focusing on training. The gym I go to, the gym owner, he says, hey, Cedric, listen, I don't want you to blame missing a workout on anything. Because usually, sometimes I would get off work 8:30 at night, I get to the gym and it closes in 15 minutes.
Oh.
So I can't train. Or I get off work at 11 o'clock at night and I can't train. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So he gives me access to the gym. He says, hey, here are the keys. Here's the alarm code. He said, and I haven't missed a workout.
Let's plug the gym. What's the name of the gym?
The gym is Atlas Gym. It's in Camden, South Carolina. Dr. Charles King, he's the one that runs that gym. And I swear, man, he's taking real good care of me. You know,
that's awesome. I mean, to have that kind of access to you. It's like the old days in Iraq when you built all your own equipment. Now you have your own gym at your disposal.
Yeah. You know, so even though he told me, hey, don't cut the big lights on because they run my power bill. I was in the dark, right? And then I'll see myself in the mirror and scare the shit out of myself thinking the booger man and they're going to try to get me or something.
All right. Yeah. How did you get in touch with Chris Aceto? How did you decide to do
Let's see. It happened with a conversation between me and Fuad, and we were discussing, you know, diet guys. Me and Chef Ferosi, we were discussing diet guys. And with talking to a few people, I was able to get his number. And I called him. And the reason why I say Chris is because I can remember back before I even thought about competing, when I was just a fan of bodybuilding, when I just wished I could be a bodybuilder one day. I'm talking 20 years old, you know. I can remember reading articles from Chris Aceto in Flex Magazine. Mm. And I still have them now. And sometimes I still go back and read when I was, you know, doing my own diets and stuff. I will refer back to Chris Aceto stuff. So I loved his whole method, you know. So that's who if I was to choose, you know, one of those guys like that, you know, I felt like it was a good match. I like the way he thinks. Yeah. So
Chris is the kind of guy. Chris is the kind of guy you call him up and ask him to help you, and he's like, I don't want to help you. You know, you have to almost make him want to help you. You know.
Well, let me tell you this, man. It had to be, you know, the stars aligned up right or something, because as soon as we got in touch and we communicated, it's like everything just fell right into place. Everything hit off just right. And he said, you know what? He told me the same thing Dante said. He said, I think it'll be kind of funny to watch you kick everybody's ass. I don't know about that. I just want to try to do a good job. You know what I'm saying? So from that point forward, man, I swear I text him more than I text my woman, you know, all day, every day.
He loves to text. Yeah. I'm sure he loves it.
Yeah.
What made you? Now, you weren't planning on doing New York Pro. You didn't think you were going to be ready. And I saw the. Yeah. I know Chris sent me pictures, and him and I were talking, and I'm like, this guy isn't out of his mind. Why didn't you?
He was saying New York Pro, and I was like, man, I said, let's get me in shape first. I said, because, you know, I got this, what we want to call new size, I guess, and I want to try to get this size in shape. Because I can't be bigger and then I'm not in condition again. It'll be just like Dallas. I can't do that, you know. Mm-hmm. So I wanted us to figure my body out, get me in shape first, and then choose a show and plan for it, and then, you know, diet for it, right?
Sure.
Well, I guess in the back of his mind, he was saying, I'm going to have his ass ready. Because he was like, hey, I said, let's start doing this with the food. Let's start doing this with the cardio. You know, they start changing things up. And my body was responding. Then he started asking for pictures and stuff like that, and everything started falling into place. And then he tells me a couple weeks ago, he was like, I think you could do New York. I was like, man, I don't know. I said, I just did that guest appearance. I seen the videos. Looked like, you know, I got some water on me, some fat on me. I don't know, man, if I could be ready in time. He was like, we'll see. I think you could do New York. So as things progressed and I was sending him pictures, he was like, you're going to do New York. I was like, man, you sure? He was like, you're going to do it? I was like, no, man.
Why, Cedric, are you so hard on yourself? You're very, very tough on yourself. You never think you look good enough. You're very, very, your own hardest critic.
Okay. It started, when I first started competing, you know, I never had a trainer. I never had a workout partner. It was just me, right? So what I did, I would study the magazines. I would study the other bodybuilders. And I would look at their physiques, and I would say, okay, let me look at myself and let me look at them. What do I need in order to look like that? Okay, I need bigger this, bigger that, bigger that. Okay, chest is good, so I don't need chest, I need that. So I got myself into this method of looking at what needs to be improved. And that turned into only looking at what needs to be improved. And then that turned into, I'm not even able to see anything except what needs to be improved. You get it?
Yes.
And so, do I mind that? I don't mind it. People mind it more than me. I don't mind being my own worst critic, because that's going to, when I am satisfied with myself, I'm going to be hell.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
So I don't mind. And that's where it started. And I believe I would rather see my weaknesses and not see how good I am than to think I'm better than I really am. Because there's a lot of people out there like that. You know what I'm saying?
Do you like Chris because Chris is brutally honest with you?
Nah, it's not even that, man. It's, you know, because him being honest with me is just like me being honest with myself.
Hmm.
What ends up happening, I'm so hard on myself that when Chris says, wow, you look great, it's like, really?
He's
wow, you look great. I'm like, shit, you know. I never knew Chris was brutally honest until he told me, hey, I'm brutally honest.
Yes.
I'm just thinking, all right, this guy's just making me feel good. He's trying to keep me motivated. But, you know, I think it works out real good, man. I like him because he gives me the freedom, you know, to do, like we'll talk, and I say, hey, Chris, just tell me how many carbs you want me to eat and how much protein, and I'll work it out, you know? So he doesn't say, okay, this much broccoli, this much potatoes, right. Meal one. He says, I need you to get this many nutrients in a day. Roger that.
You like that freedom.
Because that gives me a little bit of work to do. It gives me some sense of control versus saying,
sure.
Okay, I'm going to leave it all up to you, tell me what to do. He says, hey, he kind of got... Like we talked on the phone, I said, hey, you're the navigator and I'm the driver. You know, you got the map and I'm holding the steering wheel. You know what I'm saying?
But that's the way it should always be, really. I mean, the idea of empowering the athlete so that the athlete knows what they're doing, you know?
Yeah, that's right. And so I'm really enjoying the whole fucking process, man. I'm loving it. And I've felt a week out before. And a week out never felt like this. Like, I really feel good, man. You know what I'm saying? I feel in the gym, I'm working out just like I was 6 weeks ago. Same weights, everything. My energy level, you know, after a few exercises, but I'm still doing the same weights, everything, man. I feel real good.
What do you think you're going to step on stage at if you're 270 right now?
Chris says when we drop water and add carbs, he says 268. He's dead set on 268.
Good weight for you.
Well, here's what I know. We did high carbs for 2 days I think it was about 4 days ago. What I call high carbs is like 400 grams. That really ain't shit, right?
We did 400 grams
for 2 days, and I was 274.
Oh, my God.
You know? Yeah. But I was still harder, because every day I'm getting harder and getting leaner. I was still harder than I was when we were on the low carbs. So I'm saying and praying, I'm like, Chris, I don't know, man. So it's like I'm trying to beat him. I'm trying to beat 270, 271, and he's saying, no, 268. You'll be 268, you know? But that's just a friendly little thing. Right. I don't really give a damn. As long as I'm full and lean and hard, I don't care.
How tall are you officially? Everyone lies. What are you, 6'1"?
Yeah. You know what? I'm like 6'1 and a half, close to 6'2", somewhere around in there.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's a good weight for you. I'm excited to see you up on stage. Are you thinking any other shows this year, or is New York your main focus right now?
Well, right now, New York is it. That's all we focused on right now. But my plan was, my original plan was, hey, maybe we can get ready for Toronto. So I want to go to Toronto, and my other plan after Toronto earlier this year was I'm going to go back to Dallas and get that what I was supposed to have 2 years ago. You know, yeah, I fucked it up. You know, I wasn't as lean and dry as I needed to be. I need to go back and get that Dallas.
You want to dominate that event so they can see in Texas that you're for real.
I don't know about dominating nothing. I just want to try to go back when I'm what I'm supposed to be and go get it, you know? So
when you're your best, no one's ever beat you. So that's a good sign, or at least a good historical sign. Talk to me a little bit. Are you still working with Muscle Tech?
No, man. Let's see.
You available for a contract?
I don't know, man. I guess I am available, but the next company that I sign with, let's just say this. Hopefully, a company can understand that, hey, a guy having a job, bodybuilder, having a family and a job and being a bodybuilder, that's what 99.9% of the people that buy our products are. That's the same situation there. So it seems like that would be more appealing and more marketable than somebody that just fucking lays around, trains a couple people, and works out all day.
Which is 90% of the bodybuilders, right?
Exactly. So it's like, hey, man, you know, I work every day and I drink these shakes while I'm at work. I do this while I'm at work in order to make this thing happen with a 14-hour, 12-hour job, with a family. Right. This is what I do. But I think they look at it like, no, we need somebody that's completely focused on bodybuilding because we need wins. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, but you know what the truth is, though? And I hate to interrupt you, but I want to say something, because the truth is, because you have a real job, you're not asking for the crazy, outrageous salaries, I'm sure, either. So, because you understand that you're limited in that sense. So I think you'd be a great sign for a company that's looking to promote their products. Yeah. I mean, you represent the working man.
Yeah, well, I can tell you now, before I ever subject myself to the situation, you know, and it's when somebody, when you drop somebody, we can paint it with whatever reason we want to paint it for. We can say it's business, it's budget, it's because you had an internet meltdown, it's because you were arguing with an old white dude on the internet. You know, whatever the hell you want to say, it's still like you got dropped. You got cut from the team. You know what I'm saying?
Did that hurt you emotionally?
It did, because I took it personally, and I had to take it twice in less than 6 months. You know what I'm saying?
So
I'm hoping, before I subject myself to another contract with a company, I would want that company to appreciate who and what I am. Because you'll say, oh, his job is taken away, but guess what? The job that I have is what makes me who I am.
Of course.
You know what I'm saying? Who knows? If I didn't have a job, maybe I wouldn't even be the same bodybuilder. Who knows?
You'd be the same person.
So let's take who I am, what I am, and appreciate that, and let's work with that. You know, let's work with what made me into the guy that I am right now that you want. Don't sign me and then want me to change, because who the hell knows what's going to happen then? You know what I'm saying?
Very wise words. Very wise words.
Yeah. Well, So I just hope, and I understand how business is. I understand how marketing works and stuff like that, and we just need successful bodybuilders out there that can represent companies. I understand that, and if that's the case, I'm cool with that, you know? that's fine. Hopefully, my plan is I can make it happen without contracts if I have to. I can go to some shows, win some money, set it to the side so I can use that money to support my next show that I do. I can buy my food with that. I can buy my supplements with that. And then I can use my job to take care of my family, you know, if I have to. So, you know, and I don't know, man. I don't want to just say, yeah, sign me and drop me. But all I know is I need a check from you right now. No, it's not that kind of situation, right, man. I'm good. You know, I can do it. I can take right. care of me and my family now.
You know? Want a good fit. You want a good fit is what you want.
That's right. I want a company that wants me. I don't want a company that says, okay, he's hot right now. Let's make some money with him. I want a company that says, hey, you know what? I like this guy's image. We can use that. We can market that. Appreciate what the hell I am, you know, and let's do this thing, you know?
So, I agree. Well, I think that you're going to probably, after the New York Pro, probably have a lot of people knocking on your door and a lot of offers. So.
Hey, you know the thing with that, man? I'll be honest with you. If we can back up like 6 or 8 months, you know who was calling and knocking on the door?
Who?
Two of my best friends that didn't give a shit about a supplement company or a magazine that says, Cedric, I got your back. Whatever you need, let me know. Cedric, we're not going to let you give up on this thing. Man, I ain't got no fucking money. I can't do this. I can't do that. Don't worry about it. Look, I don't give a damn if I have to file you on my taxes as a dependent.
Really?
I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you get ready. I'm going to help you get ready for next year. I can tell you right now, I got two friends that if it wasn't for them, I don't care how many Chris Acetos I had or how many Dantes I had, I wouldn't have been able to make this happen, man, you know?
Awesome.
I could take care of bills, food for the house, and feed everybody every day. That's no problem. But when you put, we need 12 ounces of beef 5 times a day, we need protein shakes, we need vitamins, we need all this stuff. Hey, I'm not able to do that.
You got a lot of kids. You got a lot of mouths to feed in that household. You're not like a single guy like most of these bodybuilders.
Yeah, exactly. I got 3 babies I got to take care of, and they're priority number one. What's going to come out of that? What's going to come out of that army check is taking care of them first.
Of course.
And then whatever's left, we'll go into bodybuilding if there's anything. You know, and this year, this off season, without having, you know, any help, you know, any salary coming from bodybuilding, yet I'm trying to put money into bodybuilding, I was slowly digging a hole for myself. I had to take out a loan. You know, I had to save tax refund money to be able to do stuff, you know?
So you can use a good contract, and you could use the prize money too. So there's some good motivation there for you to do well at the show.
I definitely could. But let me tell you something that's in the back of my mind. Something that's in the back of my mind is, where were you when I really needed you?
True. But isn't that isn't that really the way society is in general? I mean, they only want to know what have you done for us lately? That's the motto.
That's the business side of the sport, and one of my problems is I always try to make everything personal. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm like that too. That's why I started my own company because I kept getting let down by other people.
Yeah. You would think, hey man, how could you do me like that? And it's like, no, I'm not doing you any kind of way. This is a business decision, and that's what you got to understand. And it's like, yeah, but I thought we were buddies. You know what I'm saying? I thought we were friends. Exactly. How could you do me like that? You know, I just get a letter saying I'm so sorry about your family, and you know, if it's anything we can do, hey. And then next month, I'm getting, hey, man,
we're going to
have to let you go.
It's the old story, you know, unfortunately. Yeah. But, you know, luckily, you know, you got a good mind, a good head on that shoulders. And I think, like I said, I think there's going to be a lot of offers. And hopefully you'll find the right match for you because I think you'd be an excellent representative of any company. You're a stand-up guy. And I'm looking forward to, hopefully you'll make that 270 mark on stage.
well, what I'm going to focus on right now is trying to beat myself. I'm trying to beat 2000 National Cedric. I'm trying to be better than that, and that's all I'm focused on. I talked to Juan a little bit. I talked to Steve a little bit. We're just gonna go out there and try to have fun. We're all just trying to do our best. You know what I'm saying? And before I worry about representing a company, I'm gonna worry about competing in these shows and representing myself
and your family.
And, you know, that's right. And my family and those friends that were there for me when I had nobody else that gave a damn about this bodybuilding and me. They were there like, no, we're going to make sure you can do what you got to do. I'm going to represent them, you know? So And when it's time to make a business decision, you know, then we'll make business decisions then. But right now, I'm not focused on winning so I can get spots. I'm focused on doing a great job at this show, man, you know?
Well, you love the sport. That's why you do it. You wouldn't do it if you didn't. This is your hobby right now, at least.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Well, that's right.
Cedric McMillan is back and better than ever, and he'll be on stage at the New York Pro in less than 5 days. We'll see you Saturday.
Okay, hey, man, and believe it or not, I got to represent you, too, man. And you probably don't know why, but I tell you, it's because you're the first guy that ever said anything about me in a magazine. You remember that?
That's right. I did.
Well, guess what? I remember that shit, too, you know? So I'm representing you. I'm representing Chris. I'm representing Dante. Anybody that ever had anything to do with me progressing in this sport, man, I'm trying to do this for them.
You know? I think I did your first interview, too, online.
Yeah, yeah, hey, that's right. And I ain't know what the hell to say, but I still talk just like I did then. You know?
Yeah, you said a lot of something. I don't remember what it was. I got to go back.
You're probably going to say the same thing about this interview.
That was Cedric McMillan, great interview, the great guy, and I'm looking forward to seeing great things from him. Hopefully he's got his head on straight now with Chris behind the wheel there helping him out, and I think that we're going to see some good things from him at the New York Pro this coming weekend. The event that I'm looking forward to seeing is that pose down between McMillan, Juan Morell, and Steve Kuklo. I think that'll be a definite first call out. Probably maybe with a couple other guys in there as well. I don't know who else will be in the lineup at this point, but I'm excited for Juan. And I told Juan that I'm living vicariously now through you, so he's got to do well. He's got his own burden and my burden on his back, and it should be a great event. And like I said, get your tickets now because I guarantee they're going to be sold out. Contact Bev Francis Powerhouse Gym at 516-933-1111. And anyone who comes down to the show can feel free to come up to me and ask me any questions you want. I will be there and having a good time. It's not a stressful show, but there is a lot going on this weekend. So, don't forget to catch all of Aaron Jabaka-Singerman's coverage of the NPC Junior USA as well. For now that we're out of time, I would like to thank Cedric McMillan for stopping by. Until next week, remember, with Heavy Muscle Radio, the truth hurts.
Heavy Muscle Radio is a presentation of RxMuscle.com, the truth in bodybuilding. Tune in next week at the same time for another round with Dave Palumbo only on Heavy Muscle Radio.